much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The following programs are brought to you in living color.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The sport of ice hockey requires strength, stamina, and relentless determination.
The sport of ice hockey...
Here's what happened.
Don't look at me.
Here's what happened. The sport of ice hockey and then determination, 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 determination. That's all that would come to my mind.
Requires strength, stamina, and relentless determination.
This is not fun for anyone.
That was so great.
That's so gay.
You know, you really shouldn't say that something's gay when you mean it's bad. It's insulting.
Manure. And now.
How you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Our feature presentation.
I don't want to know exactly what that
never
means.
Need to hear that again. That was our security guard, Charles.
Yeah.
And he always says, keep it funky. Yep. And then he takes a beat. And you think, all right, conversation's over. And then it goes, and juicy.
All right, we're going to take your telephone calls for the Wednesday edition of Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Get your calls coming up in just a moment.
You playing a little acoustic?
I am. Got a little song I want to sing for you, get the day started today on the Kevin Amin program.
1, 2, 3. Big booty bitches, big up, big booty bitches. Big booty bitches, big up, big booty bitches.
Wasn't it only a matter of time before the cover version started pouring in?
Absolutely.
Big booty bitches, big up, big booty bitches. Big booty bitches.
And they haven't changed up the lyrics much either compared to the original. I hear that there's also a Screamo version. I haven't found that one yet. And a couple of other versions, a couple of remixes.
I don't want no skinny bitches, big up, big.
I hate to say it, but I think it's a hit.
Yeah, I don't think this song works in this style, though.
I'm kind of enjoying the music. I have to be honest.
See what he does now.
Actually,
I appreciate the effort, though. I thought that was nice. I want to thank the Kevin Amin listener who hooked us up with the acoustic version of the big booty bitches.
You can find the video by going to kevinamin.com. It is so worth watching.
It's
awesome.
Two dudes in the living room. One guy pushes one key on the keyboard, I think, to change the program.
Yeah.
Maybe twice during the song. That's it.
And then they dance.
And then they dance.
It is not complex.
Sometimes you just have to dance.
Yeah. Before we get to your calls, and we do have some good calls, but I wanted to share this story with you because we love the stories where somebody goes from the ultimate high to the ultimate low. Life couldn't be going any better 1 minute, and then a perfect example. We were talking a couple weeks ago about that Angels pitcher hit a grand slam walk-off home run. He's the happiest he's ever been in his professional career. He couldn't be happier as he's heading toward home plate to be celebrated by all of his teammates. He ends up getting in a pile-up and breaking his leg. Okay, that's the happiest moment of his whole life right after the saddest dumbass moment, right?
And he's out for the season, right?
And he's out for the season.
And
exactly.
That's the beauty is the small amount of time between the two.
Yes.
Exactly. So here's a couple in in Thurston County, Washington, I believe, who are having sex on the front lawn. Okay.
Uh-oh.
And the police are called. Neighbors are complaining that the couple is having sex in the front yard. So the police officer shows up, gets out of his patrol car. The woman stands up naked and runs away off into the bushes, right? The guy is furious at the cop who's interrupting him having sex with his lady friend out in the front yard. So he starts to, mouth off and fight back, and he gets tased.
Yes.
He gets tased. He's advancing. He's trying to take down the cop, but he's got nothing. He's got no weapon.
Wow.
He's got no clothes even. So
he's got a weapon.
Just, then he gets put under arrest for third degree assault. So 1 minute you're having sex on the front lawn after a party, and the next minute you're tased naked in the back of a patrol car.
I don't think that's what you want.
That's bad. Yeah.
But that's a fantastic example, and there should be some sort of a word for that phenomena of highest high, lowest low. I don't think there is. But anyway,
make one up.
Love those stories so much. Thought you might enjoy that one.
All right, let's take your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What'd he do, nephew?
Well, what it do is a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Anthony. Why not? He's on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the program. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, oh, I got a name for your high, low, Ray Allen, man.
Oh, Ray Allen is a great example.
Because he was great. But we're looking for less than a minute.
not 24 hours later, right?
But how about them Lakers?
Oh, man, yeah, Derek Fisher finally stepped up in the playoffs, so I got to give it to him, man.
He's been stepping up pretty strongly.
He's been great the whole series. He's got ice water in his veins, that dude, man. He is one of those guys who's never afraid to take the big shot, and a lot of times he makes it.
Yeah, he had a good, 10 points in the fourth quarter?
Lakers!
Alone,
Lakers!
Now,
Lakers!
Hold, please. All right.
That was an exciting game last night. That one was,
yes.
Even though there was a 17-point lead at one point, you very quickly realized that the Celtics are good enough that it was going to be close and that they were going to fight back, and they did.
I'll tell you what's amazing about teams who have experience, like the Lakers and Boston, by the way. Boston came out and scored like 4 straight baskets in the first 4 seconds of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and you go, wow, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, the other team just goes, we can, that's not a problem. And then the Lakers are up 17 or 20 or whatever, and the Celtics go, no big deal. We'll make a run. You know, that kind of poise is amazing.
Yeah.
But to go to Boston and beat them their first game. Ha-ha!
We just say one more on the road and we'll be good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks for the call. Let's try Art. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Art, welcome to the program. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
All right, just wondering, you know how Dave the King of Mexico is obsessed with Farmville and Yeovil and all that crap?
Oh, Farmville drives me.
Everyone hates.
Yeah.
All right, 7-Eleven now offers these cards you can buy, and it gives you points for Farmville and Yeovil, which is stupid because you're basically buying nothing.
It gives you points for Farmville and a dildo?
That's what I thought he said.
Nilville.
Sorry, Yeovil. All that crap.
Yeovil.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I'm wondering if he's spending all of his hard-earned money now just buying those cards all day at 7-Eleven.
I can imagine so, because he's so obsessed with Farmville. And this is one of those games that you know, 40, 50 million people play.
I know it.
And I looked at it, and he showed it to me one day, and he's got crops, and then he's got, like, a fence, and he's got to mend the fence. I mean, it just is, it's the biggest BS. I don't understand how one single person would play that. I got to go to my friend's farm because he's not keeping it up right, and I need to help him.
I have trouble remembering to water my plants.
Right. You're all on living, breathing life.
Yeah.
You don't need a farm online.
Or somebody else's.
And you can't shoot anyone. What's the point of that?
Get off my property.
You can't race. Well, you're just raising crops.
I don't know. By the way, it is you're absolutely right, Andy, that it is bogus that Art, that it is bogus that there's a skill level game that you're supposed to get points for and you can just go out and buy them in the real world. That is pretty bogus. But I will tell you, I don't know if Dave is spending all of his time and money at 7-Eleven, but he is asking me every day, "Hey, are you going to 7-Eleven? I know you like the 7-Eleven. While you're there, could you pick me up a Farmville card?"
What's this, Kevin? I'm going to harvest some corn. And you know what he does? He highlights it and hits enter.
That's it?
And then it's harvested.
Wow.
That sure is good.
There are things that take off digitally, like Farmville, and Foursquare is another one, that people get so into, and I can't figure it out. I can't understand what the draw is. I don't get the Foursquare at all, and it's enormous. There are people who are going crazy to try to earn badges in Foursquare, and I guess it just involves going to lots of different places, right?
Yeah, I
don't know that one.
People play that I would never think they play. Like my boss is some really big old Samoan dude, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere he's like, "Hey, check out my farm."
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
it's crazy.
The big Samoan dude has a farm. Yeah, listen, I'm going on vacation. I need you to watch my farm. All right, where is it?
Thank you very much for the call, Art. We appreciate it. Let's squeeze in one more real quick. Paul is on line 2, calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Paul.
Wow.
What's going on, dude?
How do you not go
what
to line 4?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I was just trying to figure out, how is closing 400 medical marijuana clinics and putting a Coke bottle in this, how is that actually going to turn profit for the government? Isn't everyone going to go old school?
Okay, first of all, the government, if you've been paying attention the last 10 years, has no interest in turning a profit. Yeah, they don't care how much money they bleed. It doesn't matter whether it closes a budget gap or not. They'll do it anyway. And second of all, no, there's no reasonable reason why they should be closing down medical marijuana clinics. It doesn't make any sense on any level.
Who's the guy? He's a
state. Kutanich. He's our city attorney. Doing it.
He just has decided he's going to go on a tear and go against what everyone else is doing and what the president says and everything else. That's how he's going to make a name.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's so frustrating, Paul, is basically this guy, who's not a doctor, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, has decided doctors over here that want to prescribe these medicines, I'm okay with. Go ahead and go to a pharmacy and get those filled. Doctors over here who want to prescribe this kind of medicine for people who are hurting, no, not going to allow that. I've decided that they don't get that relief. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just doesn't make sense. Crazy in government, and everyone's just a popping pills to get this stuff. And I don't know what type of chemicals everyone be putting into it, but obviously the government's like sad a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, it's not a smart government. I mean, you'd say, look how far we are in debt. Let's just legalize it and tax it.
Yeah.
We win. Boom.
We'd make so much money.
They should be legalizing everything right now. Yeah. They should look at that state budget, and they should look at the federal deficit, and they should say, prostitution, whatever you want. Go ahead. Sign up.
Murder,
you know what I mean?
Fine. Right?
As long as we get our
cut. Tax it.
Oh, we don't tax that. Okay.
I don't think that's a taxable
thing. So that's not
thing.
A good one. Then. No. All right.
All right. Good calls today, peeps. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay. Be still my beating balls.
That's not what I want to hear ever. Let's talk about Green Day Rock Band.
Yeah.
How about that?
Today. You also qualify for a trip to Colorado to see the band Green Day. Let's talk about smuggling things in your ass.
Yeah.
Well, you're very excited.
Listen to Beer Bug. You got some experience on that or what?
No.
If you saw Get Into the Greek this past weekend, there is a scene where Russell Brand tells Jonah Hill that he's got some heroin in a bag, little plastic bag, and he has to put it there.
Mm.
And Jonah Hill's like, no, don't make me do that. Please don't make me do that. It's one of the funniest scenes.
I don't know that if I were ever in a situation where I needed to smuggle something, if I would be willing to do that. Because I'm very, very much an exit-only kind of guy.
Please.
Please what? You would do it?
No. No, but you would. You'd do it just for fun. There's something there now.
No.
That bean has something there right now. What do you think, Lisa?
No.
He lost it.
We have Andrew Siciliano coming in talking sports.
Okay.
Very exciting time with the NBA, NHL, World Cup.
And you won't care, Kevin, but one of the greatest debut by a major league pitcher ever yesterday.
Oh, really?
21-year-old kid with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball struck out 14 in his first game. Unbelievable.
I like stories like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because you can, there are a lot of players who are great, great, great in college and then never make it in the pros.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
For a guy to do it that young is amazing. We have some Spelling Bee highlights. Spelling Bee on television beat game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, that's sad.
I think it's because it was on Versus, which is kind of not...
For a while, you couldn't find them, right?
It's not a... Well, I get it at home, but we were down at Weenie Roast, and so I was in a hotel. I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
It's a difficult channel to find. I'm chalking it up to that. There's no way people want to watch it.
More people want to watch Spelling
Bee. But Bean watches a Spelling Bee, I'll tell you that.
Every year. It's awesome.
And very excited about the Glee Cap.
Yeah.
I didn't see
finale.
Last night.
I haven't either.
So, but Omar, who really is not a fan... He does not like that show.
Well, let me tell you. I know you didn't see it, Kim. Let me tell you about last night's Glee. A very special episode, and the kids learned a valuable lesson. That's what
really?
They did different this episode.
All right. Well, he's going to be very excited to tell us about that. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
It is something called the Cinnamon Challenge. You can't eat a tablespoon of cinnamon and keep it down. Or can you? We'll find out. Beer Mug will experiment coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, Ralph is out today. Time for the Showbiz Beat. I can't believe that Paris Hilton, by the way, is now hanging out. Her new best friends are Snooki and JWoww from Jersey Shore. Paris Hilton.
Really?
It has to be so great for the Jersey Shore kids because they must feel so smart for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, true.
Somebody to hang out with is dumber than they are. But apparently they are all, I saw pictures of them all together at the MTV Movie Awards the other night. And then they went out afterwards, went dancing on a bar and had, shots. And they're making plans to hook up over the summer out in Jersey. Crazy.
I'd like to see her on that show. I think she should join
Paris?
The show. Paris, yeah. She'd be perfect for it.
She actually would.
I think
she tans. She does all the
shops. She does tan.
Shops.
What are the three?
Gym tan laundry.
Yep. Gym tan laundry. And
she does one of those.
Yeah, that's true.
she has people to do the other two.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Gary, Indiana is building a Michael Jackson museum.
Oh, that's nice. Is he from there?
Yes. That's where the Jackson originally? Jackson family's from, yeah.
So which Jackson do you choose? Black? White? Which one?
Don't you do them all? Like a different room for each one or something?
Yeah, but isn't there a big phase where you would go, yeah, I don't, he just looked a little freaky here. I'm thinking I'm not going to.
Look, Michael, I was thinking about this the other day. First of all, I'm shocked that there isn't already a Michael Jackson Museum. Shocked. Second of all, he's the kind of entertainer who is so popular, not just here, but even more so around the world, that tourists would come to the United States to go to a Michael Jackson Museum if it were a Graceland-type exhibit where it had a bunch of stuff that people would want to see. They should totally do that. I mean, that family would be making money in perpetuity if they would get a bunch of his possessions together and move the boyhood home that the Jackson 5 started out in and put that in the museum and just really do it up big. There's no question that would be a moneymaker. Yeah. I think that'd be real smart.
One second. Note to self, look up perpetuity. All right,
Lindsay Lohan was all over my TV last night as a bench warrant was issued for her arrest.
Uh-oh.
Look. It was only a matter of time. When she got the alcohol, the scram bracelet, we all said, yeah, how long is that going to last? Right. Lindsay Lohan, come on. What's the longest she's ever gone without a drink, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently it did go off. Apparently it was alcohol related. We don't have specific details about this yet, about what happened. But a bench warrant was issued, and then Lindsay's people went into action very quickly and got the new bail. I think the judge doubled the bail from $100,000 to $200,000, so they were able to just post more money, and she didn't have to come in, and she didn't end up in jail. But she's got some splaining to do, and she'll be back in court on July 6th, I want to say, and they'll talk to her about whether she violated her probation. I guess that's maybe when we'll find out some more details about why the bracelet went off.
Wasn't she at a party?
Well,
was that a story yesterday, and it started flashing and stuff?
She was at the MTV Awards.
There was that.
After party, yeah.
Sure, there's that.
You can't go to a party if you're trying not to drink, and you love to drink.
And everyone buys you drinks, and you have a problem drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, it just seems ill-advised. That's, you know, she requested tickets to come to the Weenie Roast.
Yes, I know.
And we said, all right. And we were thinking the same thing. You know, it's not the environment you really want to put yourself in.
Nope.
At least while you're going to, because if you violate probation, things go bad for you. That's all I know.
Yeah. And a lot of people are suggesting, but she doesn't listen to any friends or even concerned onlookers, that, you know, perhaps getting out of L.A. is what she needs to do. I mean, really, she should be living on a farm in Butte, Montana right now is what she should be doing.
Yeah.
With no way to go anywhere or do anything and just serve out your time and just stay clean and sober and maybe start reading some scripts and think about getting a job.
And stay out of jail.
That would be
right.
Good.
Gary Coleman. He's got a hell of a widow. His ex-wife is the one who took allegedly, his ex-wife is the one who took the death pictures. Mm-hmm. The pictures of him after he had died.
Yeah, that's what I do when someone I love dies.
Right.
Whip out my camera.
And is trying to sell them.
And has sold the ones of him in the hospital bed, hooked up to all the machines when he was still alive. She has sold those.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't that great? She told Entertainment Tonight last night that her husband, as I don't know if you know this or not, but we had talked to Gary Coleman on many occasions, and he loves himself some choo-choos.
Yes, he does.
He loves trains. He's heavy into, you know, a lot of people are heavy into that hobby of those miniature trains, and he apparently built them and had them in his house and was just crazy about them. A lot of times you'd see him wearing the little train engineer cap.
Yep.
I mean, it was kind of silly, but that was his hobby.
But those little trains, those are normal size to him.
So, no, that's true.
You know, he kept trying to get on. She told Entertainment Tonight that because of his fascination with choo-choo trains, she was going to spread his ashes on train tracks.
Choo-choo!
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's not as certainly not as hateable as selling pictures of his death.
Well, yeah. It's a whole lot easier than doing, I don't know, a burial or out to sea. She could probably just walk out the back door and dump them.
That's what she's going to do. No, listen.
She's just looking for the cheap way out.
Did you ever see them? You see them on, what was it, People's Court or whatever?
Divorce Court.
Oh, what a just train wreck both of them were.
Seriously.
They were not a happy couple. But you know what? She made the decision to marry Gary Coleman. What do you expect? How did you think that was going to go?
Right.
By the way, we mentioned the MTV Movie Awards. Lindsay Lohan was in attendance the other night. The overnight Nielsen ratings showed that this edition of the show dropped a little bit from last year. Last year was the largest ever for the show. But here's why it is notable. And Kevin, you didn't see any of the show.
No.
The guy who has his finger on the button, the censor, was really working overtime. In fact, it was so... It was almost like our interview at the Weenie Roast where you decided you were going to swear in every sentence just to make somebody have to edit.
I don't remember that happening.
That's what the MTV show was like. Every single person that came out on stage and even all of the pre-produced comedy bits, they were just full of beeped words. Listen to this. There were more than 100 curse words in the 122-minute telecast. A little less than one a minute. And needless to say, when you got a live event, they didn't catch them all. I mean, there was you could easily hear the F word and the S word on a couple of different occasions on the show. So here is the here's the statement. The MTV Movie Awards, this is from MTV now, is a live televised event known for its irreverent comedy and party atmosphere where our guests speak more freely than they otherwise might. This is, by the way, read between the lines here. What they're basically saying is, it wasn't our fault. It was live and we had celebrities. FCC, please don't fine us.
Yes.
While we aired the live broadcast with a delay, we were unable to mute every word that some might find objectionable. All of these words will be muted in subsequent airings. We sincerely apologize to those in the audience who were offended by any objectionable words that might have slipped by for the live airing. They did a bit with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, who came out, and they were trying to parody last year when Borat landed on Eminem, came from the ceiling on a rope and landed on Eminem in the audience, right? Except the bit was that they would not quite make it down, and they were hanging from the ceiling about 10 feet off the stage. And some of the stuff that Mark Wahlberg was yelling, I mean, it was like, there's no way you could have caught it all.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was swear word, swear word, swear word, non-swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word.
Do they do that because they know they're in delay, so what the hell?
I don't know.
But even when you're in delay, and picture this for folks, you know, for folks who aren't in radio, you've still got to try to hit the button to catch that word while trying to keep the rest of the sentence intact, and it's very, very difficult to do.
Right.
And you've noticed on the NBA Finals, we saw that free throw the other night with Rondo, who let out a very loud expletive, and then about 2 seconds later, the sensor tried to hit the button. It's not an exact science by any means.
Did you watch the basketball game last night?
I did.
There were dropouts every 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Where the sound would go completely, you know, mute.
It was kind of weird.
And it was weird because of this dude.
Boston leading by seven. Laker ball when we come back.
There was a guy right near the announcers, and he said, my N-word.
Yep.
And by the way, it's even harder at an event, a live sporting event like the NBA Finals than it is at something like the MTV Awards, where basically only the people on stage are mic'd. They've got to deal with everybody who's sitting in the stands that can also very often, I mean, it's not uncommon at all in a sporting event, any sport, to hear somebody from the crowd yell out something.
Yeah, well,
what do you do if you're the censor?
Or the entire crowd shouting BS. I think it's ridiculous. I think that you have to understand if you're going to be there with 17,000 people,
right?
They'll do their best to catch it, but if they don't,
seriously, you can't control
them. What are you going to do?
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Should they want to tape the whole thing and then go through it and then play it?
That's worst case scenario.
Sometimes, by the way, it's even the announcers, and I frankly couldn't believe they didn't beep this.
When a team has 11 block shots like the Lakers do right now, that means they're coming on every penetration.
I mean, that's inappropriate.
What's up with that?
Completely. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of sports, how about the great Dick Vitale? It's serendipity, baby. He is 71 years old today. Actress Natalie Portman from Star Wars is 29. Shaky celebrating a birthday today. The great Michael J. Fox turns 49. And Johnny Depp, one of the most beloved actors of all time. He's only 47, by the way. He looks fantastic.
Yeah. I hate him.
Yeah.
How does he look that good at his age? And that is the Ralph Showbiz. All right, here's the good news for you, Kevin. The ratings are up for the Stanley Cup this year compared to last year, Detroit versus Pittsburgh. Ratings are way up for Chicago-Philadelphia.
Good.
That's the good news, because I know, you know, that's your fear is hockey. Sometimes it's hard to find. The finals are on the network, but, you know, a lot of the playoff games leading up to were on Versus, many people don't get.
Not even the finals are on Versus as well. If they're on the weekend, the first weekend of the playoffs, they're on NBC. Then during the week, they move the finals to Versus, which is a bull riding channel and bass fishing.
That's very confusing.
I thought that was just the playoffs leading up to the finals. I thought once we got it, oh, really? Okay.
No, finals that I was down in the hotel for Weenie Roast, and there was a game that Friday night, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and it was driving me crazy because I didn't have Versus.
Right.
So people aren't watching hockey, and that's super depressing because I love hockey so much.
Here's the bad news for you, though, is that Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals had 3.1 million viewers, okay? Opposite that was the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which drew over 4 million viewers. Now, the Spelling Bee is kicking the NHL Stanley Cup Finals ass. The spelling bee.
That's not possible, first of all. It's a lie. I don't know why you're telling it, but it's a lie. And second of all, what channel is it on? All of them? Was it on every other channel? Like when the president speaks, you don't have a choice except to watch it.
It's on ABC. I watched it on ABC.
But it was on a network.
It was on a network.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who love the spelling bee, as you know, Kevin.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, a couple years ago, and I don't know if the spelling bee got more popular because of the success of and the publicity of that documentary about the spelling bee called Spellbound, or if they made the documentary because the bee had gotten so big. But it really has exploded in recent years. I mean, it's a legitimate ratings winner now, the spelling bee.
Would you mind if we don't refer to it as the bee?
The bee. I was thinking that.
That's really lame.
I love the bee, and you know I love the bee. And I was watching this. Past Friday night. And they're doing backstage interviews now with the athletes that participated in the spelling bee, okay? They have Erin Andrews, who you know and love from ESPN. She's the one who was just on Dancing with the Stars. She's famous for the peephole video and stuff. They've got her backstage doing interviews with the kids. And I laughed so much because it's just like they're talking to Chris Pronger in the locker room.
Right.
Talking about it, how the game unfolded and what were you thinking and what were you trying to do here. You've really never heard a locker room interview like this one. What?
Before we go to our next spell. Actually going to check backstage, the third member of our party, Erin Andrews. Erin.
Yeah, we've got all the access back here. Come on, Chris.
By the way, we've got all the access back here as if every other media outlet is banging on the door trying to get in there. As if, look at this. We got a scoop on Access Hollywood. Look, the CBS Early Show is dying to get in here, but we got it.
Here right now with Elizabeth Platts. You hear Dr. Bailey give you the word. What are you thinking?
Okay, now let me just say that in terms of the questions that you could ask Spelling Bee contestants, what were you thinking when you were given the word that you're going to have to spell maybe the dumbest?
Is it possible that it's anything other than how do I spell that word?
I don't think so.
Isn't that the only possible answer is, well, I was thinking, I hope I know how to spell this word, Erin. Well, let's see what little Elizabeth had to say. By the way, Elizabeth did not win the competition this year, but she was my favorite because earlier in the night when the professor had given her the use of the word that she was asked to spell in a sentence, she said, boring.
Really? So,
I was definitely rooting for her, but let's see what her answer is about what was going through her mind.
I'm just thinking through all the different ways it could be spelled.
Right.
Like whether it's R or H, Y or I, T or D, two T's, one T,
two D's.
O or I.
Right.
The dome, I was pretty sure about. But
her word was ritodome, by the way. Ritodome was her word. So she's breaking it down for us.
Here's why I don't watch that show. Because I know that I would get every single one of those words wrong.
But these kids have been practicing and memorizing words for a year or more.
I'd also like to point out,
and they're all getting beaten up, by the way.
I'd like to point out that it's a pretty useless ability to be able to spell words that you have no business or ever will ever use again in your whole life.
Dude, you can go into the pros. Oh wait,
like knowing how to spell ritodome is not going to help Elizabeth get laid. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, or I the dome. I was pretty sure about, but. I mean, there's so many ways it could go.
Right.
Was it the beginning, the middle? What gave you the biggest problem?
Wait, is she talking about this same word?
Yes. What Erin is doing now is she has taken a question. Hey, what'd you think when they asked you to spell this word? The woman, the little girl has spent 30 seconds explaining what she was thinking. And now Erin is asking a follow-up question about which syllable in the word was the most difficult one for her to spell. This is on TV, Kevin.
And getting more ratings than hockey.
4 million people watched.
But only because hockey's hard to find.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Was it the beginning, the middle? What gave you the biggest problem? It was the beginning that I was trying to work on the hardest, the R-H-Y. for some reason, I thought I'd seen that before, the R-H-Y-T.
Right.
But I just couldn't remember whether it was O and an I. And since the Greek usually uses that connecting vowel O, and Latin usually uses connecting vowel I, and they said it went through both. One or the other, and I chose the wrong one.
Shut up. If she asks a follow-up question, I'm going to go down there.
I've forgotten what the word is by the end of that.
Is this the most exciting locker room interview you've ever heard in the history of sports?
My God.
All right, let's see what Erin asked Elizabeth now.
No,
not
please.
The word ritodome.
You told us today you love having those exchanges with Dr. Bailey because you just want to lighten the crowd. You want to lighten the mood in there. How do you think he did?
This is the, by the way, that's the equivalent of, hey, Kobe, what's it like coming into the Celtics house? You know,
I guess.
How does the crowd affect you? Blah, blah, blah. Here's what Elizabeth had to say.
You got some laughs.
Yeah.
And what, you called his sentence boring?
Yes.
Did he laugh? I didn't see his face. What did he say?
Now, are we still doing an interview, or is this just girl talk? Are we just is this Neither. Still a time on a long
I don't
car
know.
Ride
I,
right now?
She must be numb. She must be going, oh, this is where my career has taken me. I'm talking to this little kid, and she's in a mode now where she's not even paying attention.
That's really
I didn't
bad.
See his face. I really wanted to.
I'm so interested in what they thought when you said that their sentence was boring. Please tell me more, would you?
I think he smiled. Well, that's good. You got a smile out of him. Hey, it's your last year here at the B. What will you take away from this experience?
The B.
This is Brett Favre. You're thinking of retiring again. You've had a phenomenal season. What's going through your head as you make that decision?
Is this like Menudo where they kick him out at a certain age? Or why is it last year?
I think there is an age limit on it. Right. I think you have to be under 14 or 16 or whatever it is.
I'm just so happy I can make it this far. And I'm glad that I can make friends with all the Spellers. Because, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we're all
dorks
working towards the same goal.
That's what I mean.
Okay, why is it a once-in-a-lifetime experience when the kids come back year after year after year? That's the one thing that confused me about that.
They're the same kids for however long they can do it, right?
You were there last year. Was last year also a once-in-a-lifetime experience, or just this year when you did the exact same thing?
We don't all want the one spot, right. But... we're all competing against the same dictionary.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're all competing against the same dictionary.
Man, just, I want her to die.
So you got that over here on this channel, yeah. And you got hockey over here on this channel. I think I'm going with Elizabeth.
Oh, that hurts so much. The only Speller that I like is that kid, that OG, that kid that passed out, fainted.
Yes,
got back up, and spelled the word correctly.
It was awesome.
Other than that, I'm out. Watch hockey.
I love the coin.
Never seen this happen. The poor gentleman, he's a young man, apparently has fainted.
Gentleman
six. You like that guy, but what about this guy?
Numbnut.
Oh, he was good.
What'd you call him? Numbnut? What?
Numbnut.
That's what I thought he said.
See, now that's a show you ought to watch.
Yeah, hockey's on NBC tonight. Watch it.
Okay.
We can't have this happen again.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us on the show to talk sports in just a few minutes. Also, it's Wednesday. That means Omar has, very sad, the very final Glee cap of the season, because last night was the season finale, and we'll give you a chance to win Green Day Rock Band. All of that coming up here on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know why I hate Al Roker.
You really don't.
I really don't know.
Wow.
I don't know where it came from. I don't watch the Good Morning USA's or the Today Morning...
Well, because we're working.
Breakfast show. Right? I don't watch any of those, but... somehow I have an unnatural hatred for him, and I don't understand it.
He, for folks who don't recognize the name, he is the weatherman who's been on NBC's Today Show for 20 years or something like that.
Well, you know, here's the explanation, really.
The funny, okay. Fat weatherman.
The funny, fat weatherman. All right, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, that's him, yeah. And he got some press coverage a few years ago because he had gotten very, very fat, and I think he got the lap band surgery and then continued to lose weight after that and then looked so thin he was sickly looking. And now he's back to a little bit more normal weight. But, they do spend a lot of time in that program talking about whether Al's up or down this week.
I got to tell you, they've been doing like a two-week story.
Yeah, every day I see, because we have the TV on in the back, I see him cooking with someone,
sure.
And then I see him running. And I see...
they've done like, they've turned their entire program over to Al's weight.
As I see Al run.
It's unbelievable. And so I just took a few highlights. This one is them making a Rocky reference, which is super timely because Al's running.
Right.
That's
Al
happening.
Does a lot of running.
He does.
For Move Over Italian Stallion, we've got our own Rocky here on the Today Show. That's Al Roker in New York Central Park.
Pretty Rocky.
Not at all. Doing what he does an awful lot of these days, running and staying in shape.
All right, Move Over Italian Stallion would...
wow.
That would
really?
That would mean that the Italian Stallion would have to be front and center in the way. He's not.
Well, no. In their defense, though, in Matt Lauer's defense, that was a very hot reference in 1976 when Rocky came out.
And they have the Rocky music going. You know, they really try to dress it up, but it's basically they've been doing now like 2 weeks of... I can't say that. Of doing things that Al would like. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
Here's the question. What do you think when you see pictures of yourself at 340?
Well, you think, God, I was fat.
No, I loved it. Well, what kind of question is that? That's stupid.
What do you think when you see that?
I'm a little ashamed, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Yeah, I really am. I mean,
are you really? Really? You were ashamed, really? Because 340, I think you'd be proud.
Just kind of let myself go to get to that point.
But aren't you also proud of...
Yes, yes. I'm very proud, and it kind of takes a village in a way to do this. You don't do it by yourself.
You do pretty much do it by yourself, other than surgery. I don't know what it takes.
Most
a village
people do. It makes Al sound like the nation is invested in him losing weight, and thank God he had a team of 100 people working on it. Most people just get off their fat asses and work out is what they do.
I don't remember where It Takes a Village came from, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't involve weight loss.
No, it does not.
So I don't understand that.
Twice a week, Al heads to New York Central Park and jogs 4 miles. It may not be a marathon, but it is an incredible accomplishment considering how far he's come.
And we're going to show that to you every morning for the next 2 weeks. Here's Al running.
He's a slow runner, too,
by the
way. Hey,
it's the next day. Here's Al running. Yeah, you do get the idea that you could walk beside him.
I think so.
He's one of those guys that looks like he's putting a lot of effort into it.
But he's really kind of just walking fast.
He's barely moving.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to slow down if you wanted to talk to Al.
He's not an athlete in the prime of his life, that's for sure. And by the way, Matt Lauer, not only may it not be a marathon, I can guarantee that 4 miles is not a marathon.
A wake-up call from his dad, Al Roker Sr., forced him to make a change.
It was a few weeks before my dad died.
What's the music?
One morning he said to me, look, you've got to promise me that you're going to lose weight.
That evening, his father lost his ability to speak. 3 weeks later, he was gone.
Now, if Matt Lauer was funny, he would have said, would you say your fat killed your dad?
Absolutely.
That should be the follow-up.
By the way, this sounds like a retrospective of Al's life as if he's just died.
I can't believe
they're spending so much time documenting every minute of his last 10 years.
I'm telling you, we took these highlights from one day, and they've been doing it for 2 weeks.
It's true.
Who are we talking about?
The funny, fat weatherman.
Now, I'd like to suggest that he's not funny as well.
No, he definitely
is
not funny.
He's not funny or fat.
He's not funny. He used to be fat, but he's not funny. So then they go, so now Matt's talking about the fight to stay thin.
Over the next several years, 40 pounds crept back on.
I like they say it crept back on, like in the middle of the night it snuck in, like against his will.
Like
he didn't know.
Eat it.
Right. He didn't eat those 40 pounds. It just snuck in the middle of the night, and it got under his jammies, and it got on his thigh, and it won. It crept back in.
Do you fear slipping back? Do you feel?
Yeah, I still do. I mean, I really do. I think, and I think everybody who's been here does worry about it. No different than an alcoholic worries about that, you know, taking that one drink and falling off the wagon. The difference with alcohol is you can live without drinking. You can't live without eating.
I would like to suggest that A, that's a good point, and B, you can't live without drinking either. I mean, that's a lie, right? That's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were over 340.
Now they start going back. I don't know if they're trying to encourage him or tear him down because they keep talking about how fat he was. You sure were fat. Here's some more pictures of you fat. I'll tell you, you used to weigh 340. 340.
Hey, don't think that couldn't happen again. Don't think you're out of the woods yet, Al. Don't think you've licked this one.
And listen to the music that they bring in at the end of this sentence.
You were over 340, you told us, at one point. How long ago was that?
Oh, that was 8 years ago. I'm going to strip down.
I like that you take the coat off.
Shoes. Yeah, hold on just a second.
Hey, wait a second. You might want to give me your wallet, because I know that.
Oh, that's the funniest thing that's ever been said!
Why are they laughing so hard?
I don't know, but they're going to weigh him. Which, again, to me, seems a little like, hey, fatty.
Can't he just tell us what he weighs?
If you've gained a pound, we're going to say it.
Very nice. All right, Lauer. Okay, here we go. Not 204.
204. 136 pounds, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Hey, now, you're an all-star.
In the news program on NBC for 4 hours of morning's defense, there's nothing really going on in the world that they could use that time for. You should start weighing members of the show. That's what America needs to see.
The funny, fat, fat, fat weatherman.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph is out for today. Producer Alex is in with the showbiz beat.
And we do not want to see this ever again.
Oh, that's not a way to welcome a young lady into the studio. What's going on, Alex?
Lindsay Lohan is magic.
She is magic.
Just when I don't think she can screw up anymore, she does. Apparently, her scram bracelet went off, and turns out that's bad. Here's a note to everybody. If a judge puts a scram bracelet on you, like Bean said earlier, you should go to a remote desert for 6 months and not stay in a major metropolitan city and party until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Especially if you're a known partier. And when you're a known partier and you're popular, people will buy you drinks. You don't even have to pay for them. So it's really, really dangerous.
Yes. Apparently, Lindsay Lohan's scram ankle bracelet suspiciously lit up while she was at an MTV Movie Awards after party. Again, Lindsay, don't go to the pre-party, party, or after party. Don't go anywhere with the word party in it, okay?
Until you get the bracelet off.
Right. It suspiciously went off.
So the judge determined that she was indeed in violation of her bail and issued a new bench warrant for her arrest. At this time, the court finds she was in violation of the conditions of her bail, said the judge and the prosecutor, Danette Myers. Her attorney had to be called in at the last minute. Can you imagine being Lindsay's attorney? It's like being Dr. Drew on call.
Yeah.
That's not a nightmare.
But you've got business for life, so.
Yeah, that's true.
For the next year.
So the scram checks for alcohol every 30 minutes. And I was thinking, you know, if she showed up to Weenie Roast, even though she flaked, that I could spill a drink on her scram and make it go off.
Ooh,
but apparently the scram outsmarts that.
Oh.
According to Scram spokeswoman Kathleen Brown, she told E! News that we could see evidence of spilled alcohol in a report. However, we can easily tell the difference. A spill or something else in the environment would create a rapid spike much faster than a physical consumption occurred. So our confirmation process includes an evaluation that ensures there's no chance that an alcohol alert is anything but consumed alcohol.
They're good, those scram people.
Yeah.
They're good. They need to go to the Gulf.
Let's put them in the Gulf to clean up the oil. Yes. Let's put them on our southern border.
Yes. Lindsay is very helpful through this process and tweets.
Sure.
She wants to let people know that her scram wasn't set off. It was physically impossible, considering I've done nothing for it to go off. My favorite tweet was, quote, "It's from the light-up bracelet Johnny, my friend, put on me."
What?
What?
What does that,
what does that even mean?
I don't know, but unless the light-up bracelet was full of Don Julio and it went down her throat.
That's odd.
Yeah. So Lindsay's due back in court July 6th when the judge will determine whether she violated her probation by skipping a court date when she was in France, and they will check up on her bracelet issues.
She's in denial. Wow.
Does anyone remember how long she has been sentenced to wear this scram bracelet for? I don't remember.
Was it like 3 months?
That's what I thought,
too. A long time.
Yeah.
Like 90 days.
For her.
It's too long for her in the summertime in Southern California.
Yeah, it's not good.
And by the way, she did not rock those pantsuit very well the other night at the MTV show to try to cover up her scram bracelet.
She's been wearing knee-high boots or like long mom jeans. It's not working out.
Not a good look.
Kevin, your girlfriend, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Wants to pose for Playboy.
Oh. No.
Yes. A source said no one wants Gaga to do it. Her business people are trying to convince her.
Her fans don't even want it.
Her manager and publicist are trying to convince her that it would be seen as a bit lowbrow and cheesy. Apparently,
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Let's take it easy with that.
That's what they said.
She's Lady Gaga.
However, Gaga thinks it will be an experience, and she's always looking to grow as an artist.
That isn't good for you.
Apparently, last year, Gaga turned down an offer to pose for the magazine, but also said at the time, I might change my mind when I have a new album to plug.
But from what we've heard about Gaga and her suspicious sexual organs, couldn't she pose for Playboy and Playgirl at the same time?
Exactly. Get double your money.
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Thank you, Larry.
Oh, he explains everything so well. Good news for fans of the Deftones. They just played Weenie Roast.
They were great.
They were loud.
As usual. They're always loud.
They are not quiet.
They do turn it up more than most bands. That's true.
According to Blabbermouth, Deftones bassist Chi Chang, who, as we all know, has been in a semi-conscious state since a car accident back in 2008, is now showing signs of improvement. His doctors say he is showing a marked improvement in neurofunction and improved alertness. Fans can continue to help support Chi by visiting OneLoveForChi, that's CHI.com. So that's really good news.
I'm happy to hear that, but so surprised because I just thought, you know, it's been a year or something, and the guy's in a minimally conscious state. He's not coming back. So if he's improving, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good news. Heidi Montag actually did something smart.
Nope.
She filed for separation.
It's just a big ploy.
Still a ploy.
But here's the thing that's interesting. She filed for separation yesterday. She showed up at a Santa Monica courthouse and officially filed the papers. But here's the best part. I think she's getting smart. She waited until Spencer and herself had received their last check from MTV. And then she filed. Because once you file separation, your monies are separate. So he is no longer entitled to any money she brings into the marriage. So lock it down, girl. Good for you.
Do you believe this is not a... just a complete put on.
But I think Spencer had so much control over her, I can't imagine that he would allow her to retain control over her finances.
But they're doing that show.
I agree, but they're doing that show.
They're split up.
I don't know.
And he's the producer, right?
Yes. Here's the frightening part. Perez revealed how much their checks are from MTV.
Please.
Tell me.
The last check from MTV was for $675,000.
What?
God. And he wasn't even on it, was he?
It hasn't been on for a long time. Wow.
That was their last check. Seriously?
Wow.
God.
Yeah, not good. For that, MTV can come in here and film me every damn day.
I would live in the hills.
Exciting news for Glee fans.
Near a hill.
Now you're running out of time here, Alex. You're running out of time.
Omar, come in here. Uncle Jesse is joining Glee.
Yeah.
Woo.
I don't know who that is.
Uncle Jesse, Full House, Kevin. Come on.
Oh, Uncle. Oh, yeah. Okay.
John Stamos is joining Glee. Apparently, he's going to be playing Emma's dentist. Emma Pillsbury is going to fall in love for her dentist.
I can see that.
I'm very excited about that. Mm. Open wide. Kevin, get your hate ready. Ronaldo, Portugal footballer, a.k.a. soccer, Cristiano Ronaldo, has been immortalized in wax for Madame Tussauds to honor the World Cup 2010. Aren't you excited?
That's terrible.
So excited.
I don't like the wax.
The world-famous museum said the figure took 4 months to create and cost around $218,000.
They did it.
That's a terrible idea.
They did it, and then one guy goes, no, you know, it's not gay enough. Let's change that.
That's
I'll come
a
back in a week.
Ridiculous amount of money, though. I didn't realize those wax statues cost over $200,000.
Yeah. They're totally worth it because they don't look at all like the person.
They actually kind of do.
No, they don't at all, really.
All right, and happy birthday to Michael J. Fox. Johnny Depp.
Jackie.
Johnny, call
Don't
me.
Call him
Johnny,
that.
I miss you. And Natalie Portman. Ding. I'm Alex. That is your show.
Omar's Glee Cap coming up, plus Green Day Rock Band on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, look, that's Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, from ESPN Radio, joining us here on the Kevin
Andrew.
And Bean Show. How are you, sis?
Hey, look. Good morning, everybody.
You know, we fell in love with you very deeply with the Red Zone and DirecTV, and we talked to you a lot during the football season. But I'm so glad that that we have expanded beyond beyond football to the other sports and having you in a little bit more often. We're always always happy to spend a few minutes with you.
No, I'm happy to get up even for you guys.
But nice. Appreciate that.
Bean never says stuff like that. I'm saying
there's no but. No, I'm just saying
a compliment.
I like Andrew. I'm always happy to have him on the show. And right now, there's way for a show like ours without a sports guy, which pains us very deeply. It's impossible for us to keep up with how much is going on right now. This is the golden month for sports fans right now. It's crazy trying to keep up with everything.
Especially for you guys, because you guys are soccer geeks and you're hockey geeks, right?
Right.
I am mostly, yeah.
I'm not really watching the hockey.
Here's my thing. Let me just ask you this question. How do you like sports?
Right.
But not like hockey?
Now, I don't dislike hockey.
There's a lot of like movies that I go to, and there's a lot of things that I do, and music I listen to and stuff like that, that I can objectively go, I understand that I like it, but it's not for everybody. But if you're a sports fan, it's like every other sport, but on meth. I don't know how you don't like it.
It's Breaking Bad.
It really is.
Breaking Bad.
It really is.
It's hard to explain. I respect it. I respect the heck out of hockey. I went to one of the Kings playoff games. Granted, it was the last one. They got knocked out.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Vancouver game on a Sunday. I picked the last one, and it was fun, and it was great, and yay, unfortunately, they lost.
Yeah.
I respect the heck out of it, especially playoff hockey. It's a great product. I just really don't care what happens. I don't.
Because you don't have a team.
Well, I mean, I grew up with a team. I grew up in D.C. We had the Capitals. I went to Capital Games as kids. As a kid, my brother's a huge Capitals fan.
Arguably the best player of all time.
They got knocked out. I enjoy
How do you not
it.
Care?
I just don't have enough time in my life to put into it. I know that sounds pathetic. I'm a sports guy.
You're a sports guy.
But look, perfect example.
You can ignore BP.
Register.
You focus on sports.
I like watching BP because now the president says he's going to kick someone's ass.
Right.
And he's just saying it because he doesn't have any idea whose ass to kick.
But we go to other people for that.
I mean,
you're
that's
sports.
Fun stuff. Maybe Chris Pronger, the president, should get together. Hey, right. How about this? Look. Friday night,
yes.
Which is what, game three?
Yes.
Last Friday night.
Yes.
Against the Spelling Bee.
Yes.
ABC had the finals of the Spelling Bee after putting a three-hour block on that morning.
Right.
The Spelling Bee had 33% more national viewers.
Right.
Now, the hockey ratings were up. That's positive, Hockey Boy.
But listen, that particular game was on Versus, which no one goes to except for bull riding.
Bunch of 12-year-olds whose names are unpronounceable.
I agree.
About the words they're spelling. I mean, honestly, I think it's fun to watch the words they're spelling. That turns me on.
Game six is tonight on NBC.
And
let's see if it gets better More people watching than the goddamn spelling bee.
I will watch.
All right.
And I know that the fact that game five was against the Laker game did nobody any favors.
Terrible idea.
On Sunday, terrible it destroyed them. But my point is, the reason the ratings are up is because Chicago and Philadelphia are two huge markets.
Yes.
And the fans in those markets are over the top right now for those teams. So that's pushing the national number up. The national number is getting better. But in the grand scheme of thing, hockey on television is irrelevant.
I know, I don't get that.
It's irrelevant.
By the way, Andrew Siciliano made the mistake of tweeting that point, which it's hard to argue with that point, but boy, did the hockey fans pounce on you as a hater. They were
them.
Trying to deport you, weren't
I
they?
For them. A quote-unquote hater. I was pointing out the facts that, for example, on Monday, Memorial Day Monday, it was beaten by the Bachelorette for the first 2 hours of the game.
Ouch.
But it was on Versus. You don't think that has anything to do with
no,
it?
No, wasn't that game on NBC?
Only the weekend games were
only
on NBC.
Only the weekend. Well,
and
that
then
was,
three games in a row were on Versus.
That was Memorial Day. What,
That's
that game
Monday.
Was on NBC because it was Memorial Day. That game was on NBC.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway, The Bachelorette. Who's on it this year?
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't watch that.
It's too depressing. All right, listen. Tonight is game six. This is the hockey version of the Lakers and Celtics.
Sure.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
They go at each other every game. It's amazing. Watch it. That's what I'm saying.
It's a good product, I agree.
It's a great product. At least it's
and
a
we're
no.
not watching.
Where are the Dodgers tonight?
Shoot.
And the Flyers have the first female NHL star. Chrissy Pronger is going to be playing tonight, I understand.
What is that right? about?
All right, Chris Pronger, you know, he's a bad boy.
Of course.
I mean,
he was with the Ducks. Yeah. He was with the Ducks when they
asses.
Won the Cup.
Exactly.
He's a giant, and he kicks people's asses.
He's like, what, 7'8"?
Yes.
Okay. The Blackhawk fans hate him, naturally.
Of
Philadelphia
course.
Fans are just filthy animals, most of them.
Right.
All right. I can say that, right?
It's not yes.
All right. They're filthy animals. The Chicago Tribune, of all places, which is like the LA Times,
right.
same company
right.
that they own,
right.
their own, rather. They put a full-page poster yesterday in the Tribune with Chris Pronger in a skirt and called him Chrissy Pronger. Now, we, you know,
I love that.
A bunch of us jackasses on the radio, we could do that and put it up on our website.
I do that all the
but
time.
But the Chicago Tribune did that.
I know, I love that.
I mean, it'd be like the Washington Post or the New York Times
right.
doing that.
I would like to see the LA Times put a full page picture of Paul Pierce in a skirt. I'm good with that.
In a wheelchair would be better.
Even better.
Because he should wear a skirt whenever he gets in a wheelchair when they wheel him off.
All right, we're going to talk basketball in a second. Let's just wrap up hockey. It's on NBC. Chicago's up 3-2 against Philadelphia. Ralph's out today. He has a day off, but I wanted to play his little kid because he sees this as the key to Philadelphia winning.
The good luck charm.
Okay.
It's a good luck charm. I don't know if you heard this 3-year-old, but I don't know if they're withholding food to make sure that he has all this information or what. But
Wacko Fire Bomb 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 Orange Black.
And then they run every number of the player by this little kid. He knows it.
And then he shanked a kid in the parking lot.
And then that happened, yeah. Because that's what it's like in Philly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the NBA and possibly the World Cup in a second.
Omar's got the glee cap of last night's season finale coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking sports with our friend Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio in Southern California. Hear him on 710 AM from 11 until 3. I always love following Andrew's tweets during a basketball game, like last night's NBA Finals game, because it's like he's sitting on the couch with me, just complaining about everything that's on the screen.
Well,
oh, what the hell is the ref doing? Hey, why did that guy do it? Hey, I don't like that.
Why don't you just say you have no life?
Good point.
I like to multitask, but
I have no life sitting on the couch tweeting all the time.
Well, that is
no,
true.
But
that's true
but
too.
What's amazing to me is you're sitting watching at home, Andrew, and you're seeing things that not only I miss, but apparently seeing things that the refs miss. A lot of phantom calls last night. Of course, this series, the controversy has been how much the refs have been involved. But last night, you felt like they missed a lot of calls. Also, kind of again, equally on both sides, right?
There were 47 fouls again last night. It's absurd. They're not letting these guys play, and there have been phantom calls on both sides. I know Laker fans want to get angry, and they should. Like, Kobe's fifth foul on Sunday was a
ridiculous.
Joke. Absolutely a joke. They're going for a loose ball out of bounds. There was no contact, and
right.
they say all of a sudden he pushed Rondo in the back. They are missing calls on both sides.
And they're
missing out-of-bounds calls.
Out-of-bounds calls? Really badly.
Like, there's this
that
new
one.
Rule. For those who don't know, there's this new rule. Inside of 2 minutes, they can actually go to the replay. Like the NFL, to look for an out-of-bounds, something like that. And they did that 3 times last night,
right.
and they did it with one key play on Sunday in the game the Lakers lost at home. Kevin Garnett is black. His hand.
Right.
All right? Is that of a black man?
It is easy to see.
Pau Gasol is a pasty Spaniard.
No right. one's ever been
he
more white.
He has the hand of a pasty Spaniard.
That's true.
You look at the replay Sunday, it is clear the ball goes off. Kevin Garnett's African-American hand.
Yes.
They gave the ball to the Celtics.
Well, here's what I don't understand. The same thing happened last night where it was clear on the replay that it was off of one guy, but the other guy fouled him.
Right.
So now they go, well, we don't want to give the ball to them because they got the other guy fouled them.
Right.
So then they're starting to play these mind games. Look, if you're going to use replay, you got to go with what it says.
But they can't call the foul off the replay. So the whole system is screwed. They can't look at the replay and say, as you said, well, it was that guy, but we should have called a foul. Whistle, foul. They can't do that.
I'm a lifelong Laker fan, and I'm a lifelong Celtics hater.
Means you're a good American.
And I still can watch these games and go, that when they call fouls on Paul Pierce, who I hate, and Kevin Garnett, who I hate, I go, that's not a foul. Wow. That is really angering that they are inserting themselves this much in the game. You never should have five guys with five fouls. That's just not how it works.
Or the stars. The stars with all the fouls. Ray Allen or Ron Artest or Paul Pierce or Kobe a couple of nights ago. Look,
I think it's been unfair. I don't think it's been unfair only to the Lakers. Both I think sides. It's been unfair to the Celtics as well, and it's just a shame.
Derek Fisher scored, 11 in the fourth quarter last night. Derek Fisher, considering all the crap he went through in Utah a couple of weeks ago when you have these idiot chicks sitting courtside saying with these T-shirts that say Fisher lied, and all, I don't like to use the word hate, but all the anger out there this year from Laker fans, Fisher's done, Fisher's washed up, this is his last year. It might be his last year.
It might be. Yeah.
It might be. His contract's up. It might be his last year with the team. You saw him crying last night.
Yeah.
He walked off the court. He did his sideline interview immediately after the game with Doris Burke, and he's crying to see him carry the team in the fourth quarter when Kobe couldn't throw it in the stinking ocean through no one's fault. He had a game. He needed 29 shots to score 29 points. That's awful.
Lisa, just so you know, he wasn't just like you could see tears if you're looking closely. He couldn't answer.
Yeah.
Really?
He was really choked up.
Wow.
And to see him lift the team when he knows this maybe is his final run, I mean, he's going to get five rings if they win.
Yep.
Derek Fisher's going to have five stinking rings. And Comey made the point after. Someone said, how much you love Derek Fisher. You ever think about what your career would be like if you didn't have him? He said, I didn't have him for a while. You know, he went to Utah. Yeah. What did we do? Now he's back and we're winning again. So consider that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting watching the game last night because I don't watch a lot of Celtics basketball when they're not playing against the Lakers. But that they've got the home court the way the Lakers have the home court, maybe even more so. And the way people get involved in the game and dress up and the chanting and the outfits and everything. It's crazy how much support they get in the long basketball tradition that they've got in that city.
Angry leprechaun drunks. Did you see the masks they passed out last night?
Yes.
Khloe Kardashian mask. Yes. Like the paper, put them over your face.
I'm sorry,
mask.
But that's great.
That is very funny.
Not to everyone.
You got to give them credit for that.
Not to everyone. I don't know if it was a wacky radio promotion or what it was.
That's awesome.
But they had Khloe Kardashian masks. She wasn't there. She did Letterman, I think, right?
I don't think she was there, but he didn't.
She wasn't
Lamar
there. I know
didn't
that.
Play well. Maybe
Lamar wasn't there either.
Well, he had a much better game than he did Sunday. He had a much, much, much better game because of the Khloe mask.
I also love the Beat LA Again t-shirts that were everywhere last night. That's hilarious. I'm sorry.
Go back and get
the
that.
Lakers are up 2-1. What do you think is going to happen in the series? They've got two more games in Boston, and then they have two here.
I think it still goes seven.
It goes seven?
I have too much respect.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you've ever smuggled something in the back for everybody, in the front for you ladies, we're going to want to talk to you coming up in about 20 minutes or so. There's some unbelievable stories of people who are smuggling more than I'd want to carry. I don't know how they're able to do it, but we'll be talking to you. Also, the show biz beat minutes away. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for today's Omar Glee Cap.
Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap.
Omar loves it.
Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap.
Now watch what he does here.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
No, you didn't. Right. I should be writing for this stupid show. I'm so cheesy.
But Omar, now that you've had a chance to watch four or five episodes, and I know you didn't like it when you started, but now you see why it's a sensation, why it was the number three show in America last week, right?
Oh, I love it now. Oh, wait. No. What's wrong with you?
Here's what drove Omar crazy, and this is the same thing that drove me crazy about American Idol, is you can ignore something that everyone else isn't into. But when everybody else is into it.
Everybody.
Right. And I like it, and Bean likes it, and Ralph likes it, and Lisa likes it, and we start talking about it. Then Omar can't avoid it, and it makes him hate it more. But, and so now he said he's going to do the recap for Glee so that
so that you can turn around your view.
Yeah.
Has it worked?
But on top of everything else, is everything I point out to you guys,
right?
We're like, yeah, we could see that, but we still love it. And that's what really makes my mind explode.
Really?
Yeah.
Now when I watch it, I can hear you yelling at certain parts.
But you've ruined Glee for me. I mean, I don't know if that was your goal, but you've got it. Congratulations.
That was my goal. Thank you. But everybody says, yeah, I could see that, but I still love it. Yeah. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So yesterday's episode was the regionals. The big Glee Wars.
Yeah. Oh, this was the finale.
The finale. Okay. The season finale. And, you know, usually when they do a finale, it's like a two-hour finale, three-hour finale. It's
right.
a special finale.
Right.
Not for this show. You know why?
What?
Because there's no writing on this show. Last year, 40 minutes of it was music. Bad
last night.
Music.
Last night.
Last night.
You said last year. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Still bad.
Last
okay.
night, 40 minutes so of it was music.
Right. So we find out that the coach, the Cheerios coach, mm-hmm. is one of the judges, and she hates White Man Afro Guy and the whole Glee thing.
Yeah. Right.
So all the Glee kids are all bummed out, right? So they're in this meeting trying to decide what kind of music they're going to do. They're like, oh, crying and stuff. And White Man Afro Guy leaves and drives in his crappy car, and he hears this on the radio. You know what?
They already did that.
Yeah. But they have to keep going to that song. And Kevin, you can't stop believing, man. You just can't, dude. You just can't stop believing.
But I think he had lost hope. I think he was feeling down in the dumps about the chances at regionals.
Really,
but then that
mean?
Song brought... No, that song, Omar, right. I'm trying to explain to you, brought him back
right.
to the hope that he felt when his kids realized how good they were back in the beginning of the season.
Are you telling me that you can't stop believing, Bean?
I'm telling you that's the
I'm
case.
I'm suggesting
yes.
that doesn't need to be explained yeah, to Omar because they hit you over the head with it already.
I'm going to suggest this show needs to shut the F up. Okay. So then he sees his kids the next day and he gives this inspirational speech.
Life only really has one beginning and one end.
No, really?
And the rest is just a whole lot of middle.
Oh.
And I love you guys too much to let you not make the most of it.
Oh. Yeah. So he rallies the troops, man. All the Glee kids are like, yes, oh, Glee Wars, Glee Wars.
It's a very important message.
Are you kidding me? So this is what they're going to do at Glee Regionals.
We're doing Don't Stop at Regionals.
And then some. We are doing a journey medley. Because who cares what happens when we get there? When the getting there has been so much fun.
Who cares?
Okay.
Because the getting there is so much fun, Kevin.
See, now that I didn't see last night because there was a basketball game.
Okay.
I'm not that gay. I watch the Lakers instead. But when I see a line like hear a line like that,
right.
I do think of your voice yelling.
Yeah. Because it's so cheesy.
It is cheesy.
It's way cheesy.
Right?
And you know,
by the way,
when you get to regionals, it matters a lot that you win.
Absolutely.
Really?
That's why you did.
And I got to give credit to White Afro Guy because it's
you
terrible.
Can't call him by his character name.
it's terrible writing on that show.
Awful.
Yet he does manage to sell it with as much conviction as anyone could.
No, he doesn't. That's the thing, okay? So they do, they say they're going to do a medley. They do three songs, but it's not a medley at all.
Oh,
they,
no.
They
three
do, like,
full-length songs?
They do full-length songs, dude. It's not a medley whatsoever.
They used to do the mashup thing where they would put two together.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Huh?
Not at all.
Wow.
It was three separate songs, which sucked. But, Kevin, do you think it's all about winning?
Yes.
This is only about winning for you guys. And I owe you all an apology because I failed you. And we should just all go home because it means we've already lost.
Ah, oh, my God.
Wow, that's pretty
really?
Cliche. That's pretty cliche.
The whole show is full of these.
I know.
Non-stop.
If I was in that class, I would stand up and leave.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were serious.
So Vocal Adrenaline does Bohemian Rhapsody, and they ruin this song for me forever. One of the best songs of all time.
That's their big competitors, though, right?
Right.
Yeah,
of course. Of course. So at the same time that they're showing Bohemian Rhapsody, Prego cheerleaders having their kid. So this is what they do to it.
Sometimes wish I'd never been born at all.
She's giving birth in the background.
Never.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that. I always thought it was a sex tape.
Yeah. So they're cutting in from Vocal Adrenaline's
sure.
performance to her giving birth.
Sure.
What? You ruined that song for me forever.
Well,
what's
the original song is not gone. They didn't take it away.
Listen.
Okay,
listen.
All right, all right,
listen.
All right.
And this is who wins regionals.
Vocal Adrenaline.
They lost.
They lost. Oh,
oh
my God.
No, they
no.
lost.
But that's okay because
that's what
not
I predicted.
All about winning.
That's what I predicted last week.
You did.
I said, this is what's going to happen. They're not going to win. They're all going to learn. It's not about winning. You know what? Losing's okay. Okay. Oh, you know what I also forgot? It's in the birthing room when the cheerleader chick was having a kid.
Yeah.
Little Precious was in there.
Yeah.
I feared for the baby. I thought Little Precious was going to eat the baby. She was really close. Okay. And then for some weird reason last night, quirky counselor chick who hasn't been on for 5 episodes makes an appearance.
Big Eyes?
Is that
The redheaded Emma, right?
Yeah, for sure. And she's all upset about Glee losing.
It's over.
No, it's never over. I don't care what anybody says. Some things are worth fighting for.
Oh, come on! Some things are worth fighting for.
How do you fight for that? It is over.
It's done.
It was over.
It's
right?
done.
I mean, they didn't go back in and call a rematch.
It's done, dude.
All right.
It's over.
Dumb.
But you know what, white man Afro guy? What do you think? Do you think he loves her? Do you think he wants to turn it around? Turn around.
I love you, Emma. There. I finally said it, and you love me, and Dennis Arnault, this thing isn't over between us.
Oh, God. Mr. Schuster?
Yeah.
By the way, at that end, one of his students comes up while he's giving that speech and says, Mr. Schuster, and he turns right around, ignores her. I'm like, are you kidding? Really? So then all the Glee kids are all depressed or whatever.
Because they lost.
And then white man Afro guy is all crying his eyes out, and, you know, the Glee kids want to send him a little message at the end.
So we have something we need to say to you.
Yes.
In the beginning of this year, I was just another football player.
I was the closeted diva. I used to be captain of the Cheerios.
I wasn't honest about who I was.
I was tossing kids into dumpsters.
I was getting slushied. Glee Club will never aim Mr. Shu because you are Glee Club. You're in all of us now.
What happened? They all committed suicide at the end.
That's
it.
Where did the elephant come
from? Must have cut off.
That was Little Precious.
Where did the elephant come from?
That was Little Precious.
Okay. I don't think that happened.
Everybody dies at the end. That's it. That happens, Kevin.
I didn't watch it.
There's no season 2, dude. Sorry.
Well, at least I don't have to watch it now.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
This is the Kevin Amin Show. Next hour, by the way, giving away a trip to the Mile High Music Festival in Denver, Colorado. Great lineup with Dave Matthews Band, Jack Johnson, Slightly Stupid, Phoenix, Weezer, Cypress Hill, so much more. We'll tell you more about that. Plus, smuggling in your ass. Next hour on the Kevin Amin Show.
Of course.
First, though, Ralph is out for today. It's Kevin Amin filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Late-breaking Lindsay Lohan news. Producer Alex told you last hour that she had to increase her bail because she was caught. The scram bracelet around her ankle said, it seems like alcohol to me is what's going on here, Lindsay. So we'll find out when she gets back in court July 6th if there's going to be any other penalty as a result of kind of violating the judge's order by not drinking. But now a different attorney is in court this morning, according to TMZ.com. Ed McPherson is handling one of her many civil or criminal complaints against her and says Lindsay Lohan can't get a fair trial in this town anymore. Every facet, here's the quote from the attorney, every facet of the criminal proceeding and every facet of Ms. Lohan's life have been reported on TMZ and other media outlets on a daily and sometimes hourly basis. There are current widespread public feelings of intense negativity against Ms. Lohan. It's highly likely that the jury pool will be tainted against her. What do you guys think about that? Because it is hard to avoid negative press on Lindsay Lohan. Can you find 12 people out there who haven't heard about it or don't have an opinion on her one way or another?
I think you could easily find 12 people who don't care.
Especially older people. And celebrities in general get a big break when it comes to what happens in the courtroom.
Seems like it.
It seems to me.
Yeah.
So I think it works in her favor.
This is pretty funny because Lindsay's attorney in court today is reading right from the comments section of TMZ some of the things that people are saying as evidence of the negativity out there. Things like, I hate her, she should be killed, she's a drunk, a junkie, a no-talent actress who has no respect for the law, and this bitch needs to be locked up without her drugs and her roommates.
And those are the people showing up for jury duty? Yeah, you think so?
Come on. Really? He's quoting the people who comment on websites? Are you kidding?
Yes, he is. That's what he's doing. Exactly.
I don't think that's
ridiculous.
Work.
Gary Coleman, dead still. But, you know, we were telling you about the death photos. After he had died, someone took pictures and they were trying to shop them. Turns out
this is him in the hospital bed with the machines all hooked up to him. I mean, the worst time of his whole life before and then after he died, right?
Right. The before pictures, while he was hooked up to the machines, have been purchased from his ex-wife.
Mm. Not ex-wife.
Not or ex-wife. His wife at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think they were divorced.
They hadn't divorced.
Right.
Yet.
She's the one that took the pictures.
She's unbelievable.
Before and after he had died. Now, supposedly, let's see, who bought the Globe supermarket tabloid purchased the pictures in his last moments for $10,000.
They're terrible, too.
And now she has some for after he died that she's trying to unload as well.
My God.
Does she? Is she staying there and she maybe, who knows how sad she is, but is she thinking, I've got one last chance for a paycheck off of whatever celebrity is left from this guy? I mean, is that what she's thinking?
I don't think there's any other explanation. I mean, you don't do that out of love.
No.
Right?
If she loved him, I don't think
she
would do
this. It has to be 100%. She just needs to catch. She needs cash.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just going to say, I went back to the tape because they had a very tumultuous relationship. You know, they were broken up all the time and then back together and they were always fighting. And it was weird. Their whole relationship was weird. There was some question as to whether they ever even had sex.
Yep.
What was the real deal there? So I went back to some of the tape that we played at the time of their appearance on Divorce Court. That gives you a little bit of an idea of how tumultuous that relationship was.
Shannon, you say these things. That Gary blamed you for everything that goes wrong. He goes out at 3 a.m. in the morning and does not say where. Do you go out at 3 a.m. and don't say where?
If the fight goes on that long, yeah, I'm trying to get out of it. I'll leave the house.
Do you guys really fight till 3 o'clock in the morning?
We just did.
We're night people.
Doesn't want any friends? Has to understand that not everyone's bad. Basically, you're saying he has a very negative view on life and it's kind of dragging you down. Is that what you're saying?
It's true. He really does. He's
negative.
Would
you agree you're a little negative?
I have 40 years of evidence. Yes.
Evidence of what?
Of how people will stab you in the back, mistreat you.
Yes.
Talk about you behind your back. Steal from you.
Yes.
And, you know, they're not really your friends. They're only there because you're a celebrity.
I don't know that anyone could have helped Gary, by the way, with his... The chip on his shoulder was bigger than Gary Coleman was.
That was my... That was my first thought was, honestly, his life was not going to get better.
Right.
Ever.
And he would have needed a really exceptionally caring person to be able to put a positive spin and kind of turn Gary Coleman's life back around.
And Shannon was not that person?
Shannon, there's nothing I've seen from Shannon that indicates that maybe she had what it takes.
Selling death photos.
I will tell you, the one thing I'll always remember about Shannon is the 911 call where she says, yeah, my husband fell down the stairs. There's blood everywhere. The operator says, why don't you go down there and help? And she's like, I'm afraid of blood, really. I don't know. I don't think I can get down there. It's kind of icky.
Wow.
I mean, essentially, that's what ended up happening. She's yelling down the stairs to her husband who's bleeding profusely from the head. Go ahead and put some pressure on that, hon. I mean, how about pick up a dish towel and give me a hand, Shannon, right?
Oh, man.
The whole thing is very, very sad. Today's celebrity birthday is the great sportscaster Dick Vitale is 71 years old today. He's still working, right? We still see him on the broadcast from time. Yeah. At 71, he's still
working. It's going to be amazing, baby!
Is it that guy?
Yep, that's the guy. Right. Natalie Portman, who's just so unbelievably hot and such an unbelievably talented actress. I don't know, maybe best known as Queen Amidala from Star Wars, but she's been in so many great movies. She's 29 years old today. TV and movie star Michael J. Fox, and huge hockey fan himself there, Kevin, is 49 years old today. And the great actor Johnny Depp, who, by the way, I'd like to point out, has never won an Oscar. Johnny Depp. What's up with that?
Wow.
He is 47, and that is the Ralph Show.
Now, if we have any children, please step out. This is a parental guidance moment.
All right. I would like it noted for the record that there was a parental guidance warning ahead of this conversation because it may not be suitable for all audiences.
There are a lot of stories that are catching our attention that seem bad.
Yeah, a couple of spectacular stories of people in prison who, let's face it, you're limited in your options of where, without clothes, you can hide things that you want to get into prison, if you follow my meaning.
Yeah. Now, if you saw Get Him to the Greek, you saw Jonah Hill. He plays the character that's trying to get this Aldous Snow character back to the Greek, and he has to put some drugs up there for him, and he doesn't want to do that. It's not good. He's like, don't make me do that. I'm not going to do that. No. And they're standing in the security line for the airplane.
Well, how's he going to do it there?
He did it there.
Wow.
He stood behind a plant and just reached back inside his pants.
That's impressive.
So now they're sitting in the lobby of the, the first class lounge or whatever, and this happens.
I have to sneeze.
What?
I have to sneeze, but I'm terrified that my bowels will evacuate if I do.
If you sneeze, it is very important that you clench at the same time. Aaron.
I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to clench and sneeze.
Listen to me.
I'm going to clench and sneeze.
Don't close your eyes. It's impossible to sneeze if your eyes are open. Open your eyes. Is it still in?
I think I broke a rib.
Your butt ain't made for that!
So that happened. That was a big movie at the box office over the weekend. And then Alex digs up this story from Wenatchee, Washington. Police in Wenatchee are surprised at the amount of contraband an inmate was able to smuggle into his jail cell rectally. Listen to this, Lisa May.
Okay. They do now, make you take off all of your clothes.
Right.
Right.
When you get booked into jail.
And they look down your throat.
Yes.
Yes. I want you to picture... Look, I wish Psycho Mike were not on vacation this week because he knows his way around a man's ass. I don't. I don't have any idea how much room is up there, but it
does
sound to me like...
All right, well, tell me, because I got
a little
bit of an idea.
I will tell you that it's not that much.
It doesn't seem like it, right? Nope. Listen to what was up there, Lisa, and as I read each item off the list, I want you to visualize that going in and then how much space is left,
all right.
Okay? You start with a cigarette lighter, all right?
Okay.
And then you add some rolling papers. You put those up there.
Okay.
Then a golf ball-sized baggie of tobacco. Now, in my mind, you're starting to fill up a little bit, right?
In my mind, that golf ball is too much.
Yes!
By itself.
Yes.
But we've heard what people have done and then had to have removed later.
Yeah.
Much larger objects.
Well, wait. He's not done.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So you got the lighter, you got the rolling papers, you got the golf ball-sized baggie of tobacco. Then you got another baggie of marijuana. Now I want you to throw in a one-inch smoking pipe. So now you got a pipe in there as well. Oh, you know
all
what?
All right. That's you're got sharp edges, too.
Not done.
You're going in for a while. Why don't you take along a bottle of tattoo ink, because you never know when you
what?
Might need that behind prison. So now you've got a bottle in there.
I
along
think I'm
with,
out.
Oh, no, you got to make some room for the 8 tattoo needles that we're also going to put in there.
Yep.
Is he crazy? How's that not all going to end up piercing him?
I don't know, A. And B, how do you not know that that's one of the checks they do?
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah, there's that as well.
I mean, why go through all that to just
and
get
it? See, it might all keep going up. You know how that happens. Well, it could.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's insane.
That's bad on every level. I mean, I
that's a prisoner who's just really, really trying to be prepared.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really. He's a good packer.
He's a good packer.
I applaud the effort, but you're right. Unless he's a first-time inmate, how do you not know that they're going to do a keister search? And if he's a first-time inmate, there's no way that he was ballsy enough to be able to put all of that up in his butt, because that's a professional. That's a guy who's done it before. If he's able to do all of that, right?
There's someone on the inside that says, I need some stuff, and you're bringing it
this
in for
guy,
me, and Bubba's going to make sure you do.
This guy is the Kobe and the LeBron of prisoners. He's able to do things most people are not. Able to do a cigarette lighter, rolling papers, a baggie of tobacco, the size of a golf ball, a smaller baggie of marijuana, 1-inch smoking pipe, bottle of tattoo ink, and 8 tattoo needles.
So that's all in one guy's butt. But wait, there's more. Before we tell you about the other story, I don't know if we're going to get any calls on this one or not. Every once in
a
while...
Is this the can you beat that?
No,
segment?
It's not can you beat that, but but you did it.
You did something like that.
You
okay.
did. You put something there. On purpose to get it through
something,
whatever, customs, airlines, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking for your own smuggling stories. Now, so far, the butt is up for grabs, okay? So far, if you've got a smuggling story that involves the butt, you're in. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Now, Kevin, I understand you have a story that's going to expand the real estate a little bit.
Well, the inmate in Florida... in a jail there was set to be reprimanded after officers say she smuggled 12 bags of heroin into the facility by putting them in her vagina.
Vagina.
12 bags of heroin.
Oh, my gosh.
You'd think by the time you get to 6, you go, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Although, again, and I'm no doctor, but it seems to me like there's a little more room there on that side than there is on the back side.
You do have a baby, so you can expand, but how does it not – I mean, she must do Kegel exercises constantly.
I would imagine.
To hang on to all that stuff.
Yeah, because you'd just be walking and there'd just be bags of heroin falling out.
Just falling out.
Oh, that's mine. Hey, I'm sorry. Can you pick that? That's mine. Sorry about that.
And what I love about this one, by the way, is this woman successfully got them into the jail because the police showed up. They raided her home. They found 98 grams of crack as well as 30 grams of marijuana and heroin in her house. But they did not do a cavity search on her when she went to jail. And then they found out that she was dealing from behind bars. They heard reports that she was selling heroin, and sure enough, she was. And when confronted, she had to admit that she had that's where she'd put them. And she at that point, she'd already had some of the heroin and already sold some of the heroin, so she didn't have as much left. But she got it into jail that way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't want heroin.
Plug the damn hole.
Well, she's taking care of that. All right.
Oh, no, my butt.
All right.
1-800.
Oh, no, my butt.
520.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Sarah,
oh, no, my butt.
Let's talk to Tom real quick. He's online, too. Then we'll come back with your stories of what you smuggled in either side, front or back. This may be the one we don't get calls on, but let's see what Tom's got to say on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Spain.
Good morning.
Hey, okay. So, let's see. I was a deputy over at the jails in Ventura.
Oh, good. We didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a woman that was arrested. And everyone gets scanned with a little metal detector when they come through. And as she got scanned, she toned on her crotch area as far as something is going on.
She toned, meaning there was something there.
Exactly. Okay. The metal detector went off around her crotch area. So the deputy patted her down again. The female deputy patted her down again. It kept going off, and really no one knew what was going on. So we had to call the medical staff in, and they did an X-ray cavity check, and they found a snub-nose 38-millimeter revolver in her...
A gun?
She was packing.
How about that?
She was way packing heat.
Yeah.
Did she have bullets?
Yes, everything. It was fully loaded. Later on, during an interview, it was found out that she freaked out when she was arrested, so she had to do something, and she just... slid it in. I can't imagine something like that sliding
in. Oh, my
God. Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow.
She's walking around with a loaded gun
in
her vagina.
A loaded gun inside of her,
She sits down, and it goes off, and it's all over.
Pretty much.
Wow.
I'm out on a date with that woman. When she says no means no, she is serious.
Yes, she means it.
That's unbelievable. Tom, thank you so much for the call. All right.
Good
1-800-520-1067. What have you smuggled, where, and how? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm hoping there's somebody listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time ever today, because if they are, they're getting a pretty good representation of what it's all about.
That song, by the way, is called Supermassive Black Hole. Just wanted to point that out.
How interesting. We're talking about the inmate in Wenatchee, Washington, who had a cigarette lighter, rolling papers, a bag of tobacco the size of a golf ball, a smaller bag of marijuana, a one-inch smoking pipe, a bottle of tattoo ink, and 8 tattoo needles. He smuggled them into jail or tried to in his butt cavity, ladies and gentlemen. So we put the phone topic out there. What have you smuggled? Tell us the story, 1-800-520-1067. I'm going to tell you that our man Frank, who's on line one, it sounds to me, is going item for item with the guy in the story, Kevin.
Frank?
Yeah, piece of cake. That's nothing.
That's nothing?
We got a whole can of Bugler, which is tobacco, about the size of a 20-ounce coffee can.
What?
Rolling papers, lighter, about 4 grams of heroin.
Wait.
And hypodermic needles.
You did all of that?
Yeah.
You did yourself?
Yes.
And you call yourself
a
man.
Listen to this. Not only did I do it, I didn't do it from outside to inside. I did it from inside to another place inside.
Oh, so you're already in jail and you had access to all that stuff.
I was already in prison, and there was a big homie who was a shot caller who needed the stuff full, so I had to put all this stuff in the vault. And I had to go out and get in a fight.
You call it in the vault?
Frank, that sounds like something. It sounds like a plot line in a movie that you would intentionally keister all this stuff, and then you would go out and get into a fight so that you could be transferred to make the delivery. I mean, it sounds like something Hollywood would come up with.
No, it's normal practice.
Hey, Frank,
really,
I am so curious about the needles. How did you wrap them up so that they wouldn't hurt you?
Well, like the guy with the tattoo needles.
It's not like you have bubble wrap.
We got a lot of cellophane, though.
Oh, okay.
A lot of cellophane. You can get it from the kitchen. The tattoo needles aren't the full length. They're just the tips. Same with the hypodermic needles. They're not the whole syringe. They're just the tips of the needles.
I don't care how big a needle is. I'm not putting it anywhere near that part of my body. I'm just not.
You wrap it up in cellophane.
All right,
Frank. Put the tobacco around it.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And
all right.
Gotcha.
And then pack the tobacco around it and roll it and pack it into the nice phallic symbol that, you know, we all know and love.
Sure.
Okay. I got you.
Wow.
All right. One more question, Frank. You're out of jail now, obviously, unless you've smuggled a cell phone into prison. You're calling us from that.
Ew.
Do you ever put stuff in your butt just for the memories now?
No, but I tell you one thing I did do when I was out in the Y2K was coming.
Yeah.
Remember that, all the hype, and I was.
Oh yeah, everybody thought the world was going to end.
A computer? You put a computer there?
No. But we were going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Forum, and we're waiting in line. And I tell my girl, you know what? If the lights go out at midnight, it's all crazy in there. I'm not going to be unprepared. I'm taking a flashlight.
That's a joke, right?
He took a flashlight to the concert in his butt.
But you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. It gets even funnier, dude. It gets even
funnier. D-size batteries?
That size flashlight? I think he needs a whole segment.
It was a little, the little mag lights, the little ones, you know, with the double A's in it.
Yeah, right? we were asking for amateurs. We got a pro.
I was signed for like an hour and a half, and we get to the front of the line, and there was a sign that said,
no flashlights?
Due to the special consideration of Y2K, we allow flashlights.
That's one of the best stories I've ever heard.
Hey, Frank, I want you to hang on. I want Miss Cleo to take down your phone number because we like to have various experts in the Rolodex. If we have prison questions, can we make you our go-to guy to call?
Please do.
Okay, hang on, Frank. Hang on. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard about.
Flashlights are allowed.
All right. So many calls. Look, I mean, look at this. Let's talk. Let's talk to Jack. What?
We can't.
Because we got the. Can we move it?
We can't. Yeah, we can move it.
Let's move it.
I don't know if we can because Alex already has all the contestants, everything set up already for the.
Let's talk to Jacqueline real quick because I want to hear from an amateur, a non-prison related story of smuggling something in your front of your back. Hi, Jacqueline. Thanks for hanging on. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Hey, listen, A.
Hello.
What did you put there?
The night that I graduated, all the seniors had to go to grad night, but we couldn't take any cell phones, and I couldn't live without my cell phone.
Right.
So I put it in a baggie, and I hid it in my vagina, and I was really glad I did because they did a full-on, like, thorough pat-down before we could even leave.
Right.
Okay, Jacqueline, how much can you not live without your cell phone that you have to pack it in your vajayjay for an evening out? You can't be away for 2 or 3 hours?
Hey, you're a senior in high school. You know, your cell phone is your life.
Think about it,
though. I'm glad I did because I didn't have to end up staying. I pretended I was sick because it was just so boring, and no one would give me a phone. So I called my mom, and she came to pick me up, and we pretended that I was sick.
Nice.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Think about it, though. You set it on vibrate. Everything's good.
Oh, there you go. Right? All right. One more. It has to be Alex. It has to be line three. But thank you, everybody, for the calls. We got some great ones. We'll have to do this again sometime. We have more time. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, go ahead,
Hi,
sir.
Yes. About 15 years ago, my grandmother smuggled 2 baby drunk parrots in from Mexico while we were crossing the border into San Diego.
And when you say she smuggled the baby parrots, where did she put them?
She put them inside of her underwear.
Oh, okay. But they weren't...
Not inside of her body?
No. I mean, it's not a...
Because they wouldn't live there.
Yeah, they wouldn't survive.
If your grandma only smuggled parrots in your underwear, we got no time for your BS story.
No, but wait.
His grandma had parrots in her underwear.
The fact that it's his grandma makes it interesting
to
me.
Think about that.
She was 65 back then. I mean, she's going into her 80th birthday next month. But, she was totally into getting her parrots and not paying, you know, like $2,000 for each of them. She got them for like $30 in TJ. The guy was like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You know, they'll pass out. And, you know, it's very, I don't know what she did as a young person. She doesn't really like to talk about it.
Sure.
But she was such a pro about it. She just stuck them in right in, you know, right on top of her crotch.
All right.
Sat down in the back seat. And while we were crossing, because it was a really busy day, one of them was starting to kind of wake up. We were freaking out.
You know, we always talk about, it's a running theme on this program, the high moments and then the low moments. Your life is going great, now your life's not going so good. Imagine being a parrot flying free in Mexico thinking, I got a pretty good life.
Good point.
A minute later, you're in grandma's panties waiting in line to cross the border. You're going, what happened? Thanks for the call, Jack. About changing the subject that I am right now after the conversation we've had the last few minutes. Hey, guys, Axe understands it's important to pay attention to details when it comes to dating. That's why they came out with the Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel so you can wake up and stay alert. All this week, every single day on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are giving Kevin and Bean listeners who don't know each other a chance to go on the ultimate blind date, and we send you to a music festival somewhere around the country. Today, Kevin, we are playing for Denver, Colorado's Mile High Music Festival, which comes the second weekend of August. Jack Johnson is on the bill, Weezer, Cypress Hill, Atmosphere, Dave Matthews Band, Slightly Stupid. I mean, it's a great lineup. And 2 of our listeners are going to get a chance to do it as we wake up with Axe and Kevin and Bean.
Now, should I play the intro? Because I don't
I'm afraid so.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to.
I wake you up, and then you'll go. You will go see a rock and roll, a show. I wake you up, and then you'll go. What you don't have to go, so low. I wake you up, and then you'll go.
First of all,
can't get away.
Second of all, see first of all,
Glee, and then do Wham songs for us, right? Let's meet our bachelorette today. It is Leanne. She is on the super secret red line. She has already won. She's going now. It's just a question of picking the young man that accompanies her. Hi, Leanne. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing, Lisa May?
Good.
Kevin Bean.
Oh, good.
Thanks a lot for joining us. You are 25 years old from San Pedro. Have you considered dating our friend Dewan? He's looking for white Christian women in San Pedro. Have you heard about that?
Sorry. I like to drink, and I don't want to drive him around.
Yeah, he just...
Yeah, I can understand.
He all does right, not what? Like people to party. He texted us on 420. Don't celebrate 420.
I was at the Cypress Hill show. Sorry.
That's where we were, right?
Yep.
So before we meet the bachelors, just give us in one sentence what kind of guy you're hoping to find today. What are you looking for?
Not a douche.
Not a douche. Okay, I think that's reasonable.
Let's see if, reasonable.
Let's see if Tim is a douche. He is contestant number one on the super secret blue line. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi.
Doing fine.
Hi.
Sounds like you're super single, having trouble with the ladies. What's the problem, my man?
I'm just clueless.
Mm. No. You're clueless.
You know how to sell yourself.
All right, here's your question, Tim. Leanne is on hold. She's going to be listening to all three Bachelors, and then she'll decide who wins. So we'll give her a chance to learn a little bit about your personality with this question. What is your favorite and what is your least favorite quality in a woman?
My favorite is intelligence.
Liar.
After boobs. Boobs is assumed, Kevin. Come on. All right, that's your favorite. So if I were to do a follow up on that, have you dated a lot of really smart, ugly women?
I wouldn't say that. No.
That's why I would say intelligence is your favorite. Right, what's your least favorite quality?
Least favorite.
Least favorite quality. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
you're quite the ad libber.
I'd say feet.
Feet.
You want women with no feet?
You want women with no feet. All right.
All right, Tim. I doubt we'll be talking to you again, but please hang on. Let's try Marcos.
You guys are bachelor so number... hard on
I know
the
we
guys.
Are. I know it's so much harder for the guys than it is the girls.
Marcos, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Hey there, everybody. Lisa, Leanne.
Hi, Marcos.
How are you?
I am terrified by your entry at KevinandBean.com last week.
Man.
Because it sounded like you were suggesting that Kevin and Bean is a father figure to you. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. Never had a real father figure
right?
in my life, so I found you guys.
Well, that's a terrible choice.
We do not have good advice for anybody.
Maybe that's why I'm single.
All right, Marcos. Remember,
it's our
Leanne,
fault that I buy it.
I believe
Leanne
it.
Leanne is listening on the other line, and she's not looking for a douche, so be very careful with your answer. Here's your question. What celebrity do people tell you you look like the most, and what celebrity would you like to date a woman who looks like?
Turtle from Entourage. That's
okay. All right.
What I look like.
You look like Turtle. And if you could date a woman that looked like a celebrity, which celebrity would that be?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Pretty good.
All right.
Hey,
very good,
Leanne.
Sir.
Now, take it easy. You don't get to ask questions.
If she picks you, you'll get all the time in the world to talk to Leanne. Let's try Jason. He is bachelor number three. He is on line 8. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Good. What's going on? What's going on with you, dude?
Well, for my entry, pretty much, I just got out of a long relationship, 4 years. A whole lot of stuff about, you know, buying a house, getting ready to marry the woman, and just turns out she decided no.
Ooh.
And
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're on the rebound, and you're looking to hurt someone, basically, right?
I didn't say that. Pretty much, no.
All right. Remember, Leanne is listening on the other line. Here is your question, Jason. Tell us the story of the least amount of time after meeting a woman that you had sex. The least amount of time after meeting a woman that you had sex. What happened that night or week or month, however long it took?
Well, I hope you have your beepers ready, but I'll try to censor it for radio. I'm kind of a slow-paced guy. I usually wait. The shortest amount of time is about a week. I'm very traditional, very low-key.
You're right. I have my finger on the button for that. That was good.
That is very traditional, by the way. Waiting a whole 7 days. I mean, you're practically living in the Wild West.
No, but counting hookers, that's a different story, but whatever.
Well, hookers, yeah. All right. Excellent answer. Excellent follow-up. Well done, Jason. All right, let's go back to Leanne now. She's had a chance to hear all three Bachelors. Again, we're playing for a trip to the Mile High Music Festival in Denver on a blind date. What do you think there, Leanne? You like anyone you heard?
I think I have an idea. Okay. Kind of deciding still.
All right. You're going to have to pick.
You don't have much time.
You have Tim. He was the first guy we talked to. Marcos was the second guy we talked to. And Jason was the third guy we talked to.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to go with Marcos.
With Marcos.
All right.
How about that? The trip is brought to you by Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel. Helps you wake up and stay alert. Marcos, what do you think? You're going to Colorado with the beautiful Leanne.
Freaking sweet. That's
freaking awesome. Sweet.
We're gonna freaking drink tonight.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I wake you up, and then you go.
Minutes away from your own copy of Green Day Rock Band, and you'll be eligible for a trip to go see them also in Colorado. Apparently, we're sending all Kevin to be listeners to Colorado today. I don't know what's going on there. Is there bad news? Are they moving us to Denver too, Kevin? I haven't heard.
Don't have the answer to that.
Ralph is out for today. Alex is filling in this hour with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
What's going on? It wouldn't be a Showbiz report unless I had brand new Lindsay Lohan news.
Already? There's new news?
This is my favorite thing. TMZ, which we love, is being used by Lindsay's attorney to say that she can't get a fair trial.
Yeah.
So TMZ is now being used in the courts.
But it's not TMZ. It's the people who comment on TMZ. Right?
This is my favorite story of the morning. Lindsay Lohan's civil lawyer is asking a judge to delay Lindsay's big civil trial because so many people want Lindsay to crash and burn at the moment, he doesn't think she can get a fair shake with the jury. TMZ has obtained legal documents where attorney Ed McPherson says that even though people claim they were terrorized by Lindsay during her wild drunken ride down Pacific Coast Highway, the same incident for which she's now on probation, he says every facet of the criminal proceeding and every facet of Ms. Lohan's life has been reported on TMZ and other media outlets. Literally,
well, it is true, though,
on a
that
daily
if you're,
and hourly basis.
If you're watching TV at night, it's on the regular news, it's on all of the entertainment news shows, it's on every site on the internet. I mean, if you're the type of person who's plugged in, it's pretty hard to get away from Lindsay Lohan coverage. But I think, as Lisa pointed out last hour, a lot of older people don't give a damn about Lindsay Lohan, don't even know who she is.
True, right. But it's also hard to claim sympathy when Lindsay Lohan is also participating in tweeting and Facebooking about her life.
That's a good point.
Every hour. So
and showing
I don't
up
think,
at the MTV Movie Awards and things like that.
I don't think that benefits her at all. But here's the best part. So in these legal documents, her attorney, Ed McPherson, uses harsh comments from TMZ.com
right.
that people have posted. He says from the comments section of TMZ, including, I hate her. She should be killed. She's a drunk, a junkie, a no-talent actress who has no respect for the law, which is all true. But
yeah, one of these days, she's not going to be here.
And my last favorite one, this bitch needs to be locked up without her drugs and her roommates.
Yeah, man.
Look, the Lindsay, judge really read, it's true.
But the judge read comments from a website. Not the judge, the lawyer?
Yes, the lawyer saying these are the people who will be in the jury pool, and the jury pool's been tainted. Yeah. I think the jury pool's been tainted by the facts in the case, which
could
is
be.
What her attorney doesn't understand.
Could be.
Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
His ex-wife, I think, is probably going down right now as the worst woman in history. First, she sold photos of him dead for $10,000 to the Globe.
She tried to sell those of him dead. My understanding is it was his last moments of life.
Oh, they took the
all
ones
hooked up
before?
Yes.
Oh, and I thought sold they bought the daddy pictures.
I think
still,
it's the alivey pictures, but it was the almost daddy. And she's trying to unload the daddy.
So here's what's weird. They've been divorced, but she's still been living in Gary Coleman's home. Now Gary Coleman's former manager, Dion Meal, who is helping Gary Coleman's estate and his parents out with the will and the funeral, claimed that Shannon Price, Gary Coleman's ex-wife, has been stealing things out of the house. And she needs to return them.
Yeah.
She has taken, among other things, a 2005 Dodge pickup truck.
Out of the house? What was it doing in the house?
The driveway, a cargo trailer, two computers, telephones, musical instruments, and many furnishings. Chief Dennis Howard of the police department tells TMZ last night that his officers accompanied a locksmith to change the locks at Gary's house per Dion's request. Monday night, the cops went to the house, so Shannon, as Shannon's family was loading up Gary's stuff onto Gary's own truck she was driving away. The officers had to convince Shannon's dad to return the load to Gary's house. But Dion, the former manager of Gary, says this is just the beginning, that Shannon's already done a few trips before this. So,
wow. But is it her stuff now? Is she the next of kin of Gary Coleman?
Well, unless he specified it in his will, but they were divorced. And Dion, the former
they
manager,
were
is saying...
divorced? Because we weren't sure.
Yeah. I mean, according to TMZ,
okay,
which, as we all know, is the gospel.
They're pretty right.
So let me get this straight. My ex-husband dies. I take pictures. I sell them.
Correct.
And then I steal all his crap.
Correct.
Before
right.
his former manager tells me not to.
You're not a good person.
Got it. And other good news, Spidey is legally separated. Heidi Montag did one right thing. She's locking down her money. She's separating from Spencer Pratt. Apparently, once you file for legal separation, All the money you retain is officially yours, and your spouse can't grab any of it. Her timing was perfect. She filed for separation right after their last check from MTV showed up.
So shouldn't Spencer, he done it before?
Spencer got his last money.
Well, no, because
money,
he got a
done.
Check, so they now they have to split it, I guess. I don't know.
But the check, this is the part that kills me more than the separation. The check was for $675,000.
That is wrong
each
on every level.
Each check that they receive is for $675,000.
Wow.
Come on, people.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It made me sad.
All right, birthdays real quick. Johnny Depp, call me. Michael J. Fox, happy birthday. It does, all pretty right. much. Mm-hmm. Jack Sparrow's going to call me. You just watch.
Sure.
And Natalie Portman, ding. I'm Alex, that's your showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. As we were saying, Green Day Rock Band in stories this week for Xbox 360, PS3, the Wii. We're giving away copies right now, including not only the game itself, but a Rock Band guitar strap, Trey Cool drumsticks, and a Green Day Rock Band t-shirt. Everybody who wins this week on The Kevin and Bean Show is also going to be eligible for a flyaway for two to see Green Day in Denver, Colorado on August the 28th, a Rock Band Xbox 360 bundle and an autographed guitar. We got all the details at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Hit it, Steve.
Well, we have to explain what we're hitting. Oh, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Because it's a different contest.
Wait, Steve, we're not ready.
Or is it in the intro? Or I'm confused now. Do I play
well,
the intro?
Well, I just figured we play the intro, then we describe the game. But we can do
so
it.
You want to win Green Day Rock Band? Well, I think that day's today. Well, hold on to your britches. We're going to get ready to play. It's green grass. Yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play you a song today. You're going to guess it. Yabba-dabba-doo. It's green grass.
Omar gets better and better, but what he's trying to say is that Green Day is so popular that bluegrass bands have covered their very popular hit songs. We're going to be playing a segment of the bluegrass song. All you have to do is tell us what the title is of that Green Day song. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win the Green Day Rock Band and be qualified for the trip to Colorado. Who's our first contestant?
So it's green grass, see, Lisa, because it's bluegrass is the name of the music style.
So clever.
And then we put green in. Uh-huh. How crazy is that?
Wow.
All right.
Lisa's disgusted.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with Perry. Hi, Perry.
Hey. How's it going, John?
Are you a big bluegrass fan?
You're listening to the right station.
No one is. I know.
As always, right. The important thing is, if you're a big Green Day fan, you should be able to figure out what song this bluegrass band is doing. We can only play it for you once, so listen closely, then tell us the title of this Green Day hit.
Television dreams of tomorrow. We're not the ones who are meant to follow. Well, that's enough to argue.
All right. What do you think they're doing?
Oh, f*** you. First of all.
I got to agree.
To bluegrass. All right, I'm sorry. Perry?
Perry? Perry, yeah.
I didn't have you up. Do you have the answer?
That is a tough one.
No, it's not at all. Not tough. Easy. Maybe the easiest one all day.
I actually sing it.
It's hard to hear on this.
I know.
I'm sorry. What's your answer, Perry?
Not
sorry,
so
got to move on. Thank you. We were looking for American Idiot.
Yeah, that's a travesty. They should not be doing that.
You may not like bluegrass, but you could sure tell they were doing American Idiot. That
well,
wasn't
yeah, I would
hard,
think so.
Right?
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
Anthony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Good.
See, we call it green grass because it's bluegrass music, but Green Day.
Don't they just kill you, Anthony?
Oh, we're so creative.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your song. Identify this this Green Day song.
My shadow's the only one that walks beside me.
That guy is spitting and chewing right now.
That Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
That is it, yes. Nicely done.
My shadow's
that was close.
All right, Anthony is in the drawing. Let's see how Hector does. He is on line three playing Green Grass on the Kevin and Bean Show for Green Day Rock Band. Hey, Hector, you wanted to play?
Yeah, I'm ready to play. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, listen up. Good luck.
Here you go.
Pay attention to the cracked streets and broken homes. Some call it slum, some call it nice.
Why does this genre exist, Bean? Who buys this?
Lots of people for 100 years have enjoyed bluegrass music.
Right, but who's buying Green Day songs in bluegrass style?
That I can't help you with. I don't know the answer to that one. Hector, what do you think?
Is that Welcome to Paradise?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
All right, now we're rolling. We had a little bit of a dud with Perry at first, but now we got some winners. Let's try Marcel, line four. Hey, Marcel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play some green grass?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right,
good
here
on.
You go.
I'm one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
I just could not hate these people more. They really suck. What's that song title?
Oh, my God. No, that's the easiest song.
It is. You know it
is
so
easy.
Well.
Very popular, yeah.
You're going to take your own life when you find out. What's the name of it?
The
title of it is...
Yes, good start.
How many times...
You're the end of that sentence.
How many times would you estimate you've heard that song?
Like, at least over a billion.
Yes. And the name of it is...
F My Life.
That's almost a good enough answer to put you in the drawing when we were actually looking for Basket Case this time.
Oh, my God.
I am one of those.
Oh, man. F My Life was funny, though.
All right, one more is all we have time for. It's going to be Mercy on line 5. Hey, Mercy, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to get into the drawing for Green Day Rock Band?
Let's do this.
All right. Here's your song.
You may find out that your self-doubt means nothing was ever there. You can't go forcing something if it's just not right.
Banjos make everything worse.
Nah, that's terrible.
That is terrible. What's the name of it?
When I Come Around.
Yes, it is. That's right.
All right. Very well done. Anthony, Hector, Mercy, all in the drawing. Lisa May is going to give somebody Green Day Rock Band. And again, you're eligible for the Flyaway for Two to see Green Day in Denver August 28th and an autographed guitar plus Rock Band X360 bundle. Who's your winner there, Lisa?
My winner's Mercy.
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 Who we just talked to. Mercy, nice job.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well done, and thank you for playing.
Thank you, Lisa. You're awesome.
You're welcome.
How come she's on? Wait, here, wait.
It's green grass. Yep, I hope you had fun playing. Shamanamaning, I don't know what I'm saying. It's green grass.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I would imagine in a hotel, it's the concierge who gets the concierge. That's right?
Concierge,
thank you.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yeah.
It's K-Rock and it's 9:44.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph is out for today. Showbiz Beat still goes on without him. Another sex tape, another day, another celebrity, another sex tape. Now, I'm confused about this one, guys, because if a celebrity sex tape comes out and I've never heard of the celebrity and don't know who she is, isn't it just porn with a chick who's uglier than a professional? Is that all this is?
Well, that depends. Is she uglier than a professional?
Danielle Staub, the 47-year-old Real Housewife of New Jersey. Apparently, she's on that show, and she is a celebrity because of that.
She kind
Lisa,
of is.
Help
I
me
mean,
out here.
I don't watch that show, but yeah, she's kind of a celebrity from it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if she was on that show, I imagine she would qualify as a celebrity.
Yeah. But for somebody like me who's never heard of her or seen her, there's no incentive to rush out and get this celebrity sex tape in particular.
Right, not unless she's super, super, super hot.
Right. Hustler is going to be distributing a 75-minute tape. Apparently, she is New Jersey's most hated housewife, mother of two, by the way, in a naked romp with a mystery man. Apparently, it is due on June 14th, which is just a few days away. So if you do know that show, watch that show, and are a fan of hers, that is good news for you. I think all celebrities should have sex tapes, by the way.
This should be required?
Require, yeah, the hot ones. All the hot ones. Anyway, that's your heads up
today.
Your
world.
Here's the Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt possible story, possible lie of the day.
Hmm.
Hard to tell the difference. I don't trust anything that comes out of their camp because they lie all the time. But you know how they said they were splitting and then they're doing a reality show where Heidi's moving in with her friend. But wait a minute, Spencer's producing. So then we go, well, then what? They're faking it. And then they look for paperwork. There is none. Well, Us Weekly apparently found that yesterday a court clerk revealed that she, Heidi, filed for separation in Santa Monica.
Now,
okay.
Is that a further lie? Sure could be.
Well, I'm sure she filed. It means nothing. And celebrities for real file all the time and then...
Sure.
It doesn't mean that they didn't get together and say, hey, how can we continue to fan the flames of this alleged breakup? Let's make it look more real by filing this paperwork, but we're actually still together.
I hope that they split up, because I think apart, no one will pay attention to either of them.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
What I hope is for a murder-suicide pact. That's what I hope for. That's the best possible outcome for Spencer and Heidi. My God. A couple of TV notes for you. According to Us Weekly magazine, they did an interesting article on reality show stars and their paychecks. If you've always wondered what some of these shows are paying out to have contestants, for instance, what do you think Kate Gosselin was making per episode for Dancing with the Stars?
Oh man, I don't have any idea. I don't know how much
I don't know, like 30,000 or something?
Yeah, I was going to say 20.
Try $100,000 an episode. Which is interesting to me because she said on the show, hey, I'm doing this program because I need to make a living. I've got all these kids. Then why didn't she work harder to be good? Because all she did on Dancing with the Stars was complain and not practice and suck. You'd think that if I'm getting $100,000, if I can stay on the show an extra week, it's worth it to me to try to stay on the show an extra week.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't watch that show.
How many weeks was
terrible.
She on? Do we know?
She was terrible. I don't know, about 3 or 4, I think, is all. But remember, she just did nothing but complain about it all the time.
Well, she's a horrible human being.
Yeah.
She's a bad person. Right. $100,000. How about The Situation? I guess you'll know this one. The Situation from Jersey Shore. Remember, they threatened to walk, and they ended up getting $10,000 an episode.
Right.
So that's what he's making for the Jersey Shore. Kristen Cavallari, per episode of The Hills, $90,000.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Sarah Palin, who had a reality show that aired in the spring about Alaska. Remember she did that show about the natural wonders of Alaska? It was on Discovery or something like that?
I don't remember that at all.
She got $250,000 an episode.
Wow.
She, by the way, has made mad bank since she quit being the governor of Alaska. She's made something like $15 million since then.
What, like speaking tour and stuff?
Speaking engagements, book sales, and advances, you know, advances on books. Obviously, she's also a paid employee of the Fox News Channel. I mean, a lot of people were down on her for quitting, but let's face it, you're the governor of Alaska. You're probably making $100,000 a year. She's probably making $10 million a year now. I can understand why she did it. But yeah, $250,000 for doing a show that nobody ever even watched.
Never heard of.
And I thought this was interesting while we're talking about money and television, too. The 2011 Super Bowl is already 80% sold out as far as commercials go.
Is it really?
I guess there are just so few events like that that get the kind of audience that the Super Bowl gets. And last year, the Super Bowl, remember, was the most watched program in television history, over 106.5 million viewers. Fox has it this year, $2.83 million for a 30-second spot. I mean, it seems crazy. We're not even in, you know, we're not even in the season yet. We're already talking about the Super Bowl, but 80% sold out. I hope that's good news for a recovering economy.
I wonder if they get a break for booking early. Maybe that's why they do it.
That could be.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Is Angelina Jolie hiding secret affairs? I'm going to say no, because we know Angelina Jolie, right?
Nothing, she's exhausted.
Nothing would surprise me. According to Star Magazine, author Andrew Morton's new unauthorized biography of her says that she had affairs with Ethan Hawke while he was married to Uma Thurman. She had an affair with Ralph Fiennes, and she had an affair with Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, okay. So this is all before she and Brad Pitt got together and had a bunch of kids.
It doesn't give the timeline. I imagine it was.
I would guess.
But
well, they wouldn't be they would be affairs for the other
people. For the
people,
other ones,
right. Is what they're saying. Is like right. Ethan cheated on Uma with Angelina.
Right.
And so the big thing is, you know, did they cheat on Brad and all that. But I would believe all of them. I just think Angelina Jolie. Because she's just crazy. She just has sex with everyone. That happens.
Yeah, that's true.
And God bless her for doing so, by the way. Today's celebrity birthday is Natalie Portman, who's one of my very favorite actresses. She is 29 years old today. It's weird. She's so young. It just seems like she's been around for such a long time. Michael J. Fox, who really has been around forever and is 49 years old today. And actor Johnny Depp, who is 47. And that is the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
All right. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have a new internet roundup for you with a bunch of fun stuff where you have to find out why any of you play Farmville. We've talked about this before because Dave the King of Mexico plays Farmville. And it's, it's not a good use of your time.
No.
Look,
it doesn't
I understand,
seem like it.
In the world of video games, it's not good.
I understand there are lots of Second Life experiences that people have decided to do on the internet. You can be anyone, anywhere, and people really get into the role-playing and they get into the fighting and they get into the adventure. But isn't
this has none of that.
Isn't the we'll find out from Dave tomorrow who's heavy into it. But Farmville seems like a way more boring life online than you already have in real life, and I don't understand what the point of that is.
It is.
Why do you go to the internet to do something more boring than what you're doing in real life? I thought the internet is so you can explore and have fantasy and fun.
Right. Sure. Yeah. And it's also I forgot what I was going to say. Now, Dan.
It'll come to you in time for tomorrow.
No, I remember. It's also so huge that you won't believe how many people play it. That's the other part of it.
Something we don't
super
understand.
Super boring.
There's something we don't know.
And
right? Exactly.
Unbelievably popular.
Maybe you save on food bills by growing your
you
own.
You don't. That's,
look,
doesn't work that
I way. Live on a farm.
Yeah.
I have livestock,
right.
And I don't want to play Farmville.
Right. Tomorrow's Thursday. We have Dr. Drew every Thursday. We will talk to him. We have another Green Day rock band. We have Lewis Black tomorrow on the program.
Oh, great.
He's a comedian. Bean's Mystery Break. That scares me.
Oh,
we have,
really?
Charlton Copley, who plays Murdoch in the A-Team tomorrow as well.
Awesome. Love that dude.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. The beautiful Kat Corbett is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Rage Against the Machine, who are rumored to be considering recording a new album later this year.
Oh, I'm sure. God.
K. Kat will have more on that. Also, some Weezer for you, Metallica, Rise Against, and the new one from Jack Johnson. All coming up on K-Rock.